a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In May, we're discussing how to design the perfect character and giving authors the right tools to make sure that their characters are people, not caricatures. In June, we're discussing the four-letter words of the writing world.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
You may have seen the sign. You may have even driven by it today. Hi, I'm Rick Gendra, owner of Gendra 76 on the corner of Cypress and Bocelli. We've been a family-owned automotive care and repair business since 1979. And yes, we still pump your gas and clean your glass. Stop by anytime. Let us show you what old-fashioned service is all about. And try our app to save up to 25 cents per gallon of quality 76 gas.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR. I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
And I didn't hear back. Now, of course, he's one of the investigative reporters on this. Reed said that she had meant that Farrell had not initially responded to her, but they were now actively communicating. Then she found partisans willing to hear her out. Remember, this allegation first aired on a Bernie Sanders pro-Bernie Sanders podcast by a woman named Katie Halper. Then The Intercept, which is also a leftist website, reported that a friend and brother of Ms. Reed's recalled her describing the incident. The traditional media waited in carefully, then Business Insider had to report it. The reporter, Rich McHugh, had first taken the story to Vanity Fair, and Vanity Fair wouldn't publish it. Can you imagine Vanity Fair not publishing Christine Blasey Ford's story? Of course not. The broadcast television network CNN and MSNBC have covered the story on their websites, but there's been no clear explanation for why Reed was not booked on mainstream TV. CNN and MSNBC declined to explain why they have not booked a woman who is, whether you believe her or not, one of the few newsmakers right now who could cut through the pandemic. The posture is all the more strange. I mean, this is a great piece by Ben Smith. He's actually being honest here. The posture is all the more strange because at this point, it's essentially symbolic. In 1999, you could argue that NBC's decision to hold back Lisa Myers' interview with Broderick had real political consequences. Taped in January, as the Senate took up impeachment charges against Clinton, it didn't air until after the Senate voted not to convict the president in February. Back then, the only way Americans were going to hear her voice was on television. But these days, if you want to judge Reed's story, you can listen to the original podcast interview. You can find her talking about it in different places. So it's pretty amazing that TV has refused to have Tara Reid on, and it does demonstrate the bias of the media. Remember, Christine Blasey Ford was put on the cover of Time magazine with her face comprised of various quotes from her about all the horrible things that happened to her in a hero's pose, holding up her hand and taking the oath to tell nothing but the truth, the whole truth. But Tara Reid, they won't even have on national TV. They'll have on clowns like Sean Penn to talk about the global pandemic, but they won't have on Tara Reid, who's making an actual allegation of direct sexual assault against a presidential candidate. They're willing to have on everybody who's making those sorts of allegations against Trump back in 2016. But when it comes to Joe Biden, complete silence from national TV. So Joe Biden rightly thought he could hide out from this for quite a while. And now it turns out, by the way, that Joe Biden is doing more to hide out from the story. We'll get to that in just one moment. First, let's talk about the fact you are spending an awful lot of time with your earbuds lately. I know, you love them. Or maybe you don't. Maybe they're not very good. Maybe they have wires attached to them. Maybe they don't fit your ear properly. Maybe what you actually need are a better class of earbuds. You need Raycons. Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands you know. Their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, they're the best ones yet. 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and more compact design that gives you that nice noise-isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds are incredibly comfortable. They're perfect for conference calls, video chats, binging podcasts. Now, I enjoy my Raycons because they fit my ear well. A lot of these other options, they don't fit your ear all that well because they're one-size-fits-all. Raycon comes with a variety of fits, so you can actually customize these things for your ears. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Ben. That is buyraycon.com/Ben for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/Ben. Again, that's buyraycon.com/Ben for 15% off those Raycon wireless earbuds. You're really going to enjoy them. And just as importantly, you're not going to spend a fortune getting them, and everybody needs to save money right now. So get great earbuds, the Everyday E25s from Raycon. Buyraycon.com/Ben for 15% off. That is buyraycon.com/Ben. Joe Biden is also engaging in a bit of a cover-up here. What I mean by that is that Joe Biden has been asked to open his personal papers to inspection. So he donated his Senate papers, his personal Senate papers, to the University of Delaware. And now he's running for president. Well, now would be a pretty good time to, you know, actually reveal those personal papers from the archive. If you didn't want to donate them, Joe, you shouldn't have donated them. But the idea that we are going to keep them in the dark and make them irrelevant for years on end in the middle of this is pretty ridiculous. It's amazing. The media will go totally after Trump about not releasing his tax records. For the record, I said many times Trump should release his tax records. I think full transparency from presidential candidates is a very good thing. The American public deserves to know more. By the way, I felt the same thing about things like Barack Obama's college records. I thought that was interesting. I thought it would be good to know what kind of classes he took back when he was in college and what kind of papers he was writing and all of that. I mean, some of us have been public since we were 17. So I sort of like the idea that if you are in the Senate on the taxpayer dime and you have notes that you have donated to a public university, I believe the University of Delaware is a public university, that
you should now have to release those as a condition of running. Like, this seems like a thing that you should do. But apparently, Joe Biden will not release those records. Tara Reid says, I'm calling for the release of the documents being held by the University of Delaware that contain Biden's staff personnel records, because I believe it will have my complaint form, as well as my separation letter and other documents. Maybe if other staffers that have tried to file complaints would come to light, why are they under seal? Why won't they be released to the public? So Biden's campaign has denied the claim from Reid. Biden says that there won't be any references in the records to any of this, but you could just release the records. You could. You know, Biden today suggested that the records won't exist there, that they'll only exist at the National Archives. There's only one problem. People called up the National Archives and said, do you have personnel records from Senate offices? They said, no, that's not what we do here at the National Archives. So, no, you're actually going to have to release those records. And Biden is holding those records pretty close to the chest. So all of this starts to mount this week. So it's amazing. Media don't ask Biden about it for weeks on end. Right? They'll ask Stacey Abrams about it. They'll ask Kristen Gillibrand about it. They'll ask Kamala Harris about it. They'll ask Amy Klobuchar about it. They'll ask Trump about it. They asked Trump about it yesterday. And frankly, Trump was kind of circumspect about it, considering that Trump is usually the guy who, like, you hand him a brick and he will clock you directly in the forehead with it. Instead, Trump was actually kind of circumspect because, in Trump's opinion, he's been falsely maligned about this sort of stuff many times, and so he's not going to jump to guilt. Well, that's actually Trump being consistent, shockingly enough. Right? Trump saying, listen, I know all about false accusations, so I'm not going to suggest that Joe Biden is guilty merely because an accusation was made. That's actually Trump being far more consistent than Joe Biden has ever been on this stuff. Here is Trump.
About it, I don't know exactly. I think he should respond. You know, it could be false accusations. I know all about false accusations. I've been falsely charged numerous times, and there is such a thing. If you look at Brett Kavanaugh, this is an outstanding man. But I don't know. I can't speak for Biden. I can only say that I think he should respond. I think he should answer them.
Okay, and that. That is a fairly circumspect answer again from the president of the United States. So in the middle of all this, again, the momentum is gaining. And then Joe Biden has himself a couple of awful days, awful political days. Here's an example. Yesterday, Joe Biden was on national TV, and Joe Biden literally suggested on national TV, quote, I view myself as a transition candidate. My job is to bring the mayor peace of the world into this administration. So he's openly acknowledging that he's not actually the candidate for president, that he is just a dead person. Right? You can't openly acknowledge that and run for president. I mean, if he had said that on the stage, imagine if he had said that on the stage. Imagine if he had said on the stage, listen, I got nothing new to offer. You know, people know my name. I'm kind of a corpse. And, you know, if you elect me, then Mayor Pete will be president. Mayor Pete would have been like, I'm right here, dude. Like, if I want to be, if people want me, they can vote for me. Why exactly would you vote for a guy who, in a general election, who is actually Kamala Harris, or who is actually Mayor Pete, or who is actually Amy Klobuchar? I mean, that's an amazing statement. He's basically betting that people hate Trump so much that he's elected president. That may not be a bad bet, but it's a horrible campaign tactic. Suggesting that you are running, not because you have a vision for the country or because you add anything to the political debate, but because you're an empty vessel who is likely to collapse and die 2 years into your term. This is the first time in my lifetime that the VP selection is actually going to matter a lot. If Joe Biden selects Kamala Harris, Donald Trump will run against Kamala Harris. He will not even run against Joe Biden. He will say Joe Biden has said he's a transition candidate. Joe Biden is senile and not healthy. By the way, Joe Biden does look senile and not healthy. And that is perfectly acceptable to say. People say, oh, that's ageist. No, it's not ageist. There are plenty of 80-year-old people who don't look like Joe Biden. I used to take violin lessons from a guy named Abraham Stern, amazing violin teacher. He was 80, vibrant, totally with it, not Joe Biden. Okay, we all know this. Maybe it's impolitic to say this. Too bad. In a presidential race, there's no such thing as impolitic. By the way, everybody on the left has been speculating that Trump is a few apples short of a barrel for a long time. So suggesting that Joe Biden does not, he's not even Joe Biden of 8 years ago, right? Joe Biden cannot string sentences together. I'll show you proof that Joe Biden can't string sentences together, actually. Here's a video yesterday of Joe Biden suggesting that what he wants to do about coronavirus is fly flags at half staff in the White House. This is his big suggestion to cure coronavirus, is that he's going to lower the flag to half staff at the White House. Wow, problem solved, Joe. And this was a video the campaign released because they thought it made Joe Biden look good. Joe Biden looks like he cannot string a sentence together. He repeats himself no less than twice in the course of about a 45-second video. He stumbles over himself, and his big suggestion for curing coronavirus is he is going to lower the flag at the White House, which is just, wow, problem solved here, Joe. Here's the presidential candidate for the Democrats.
It's April the 29th. By the end of this month, we would have lost more people with coronavirus dead and we lost the entire Vietnam War. Americans lost the entire Vietnam War. And you know, I think the president should lower the flag on the White House to half mast to recognize their loss and all they leave behind, all those families they leave behind. Many of them were first responders who gave their lives trying to save other lives. Folks, I think if he does not do that, when I'm president, I promise you that's what I'll do. They should be recognized.
They thought that this was a good video for Joe Biden. So he's campaigning as a corpse. The problem is, a corpse who allegedly sexually molested someone in 1993 is not quite as good a candidate as a corpse who didn't do that, right? Who doesn't have those allegations out there. And so what you've seen is some of the Democrats starting to come out of the woodwork and a bit of a gap opening up in the Democratic Party. All this is the lead up to his disastrous appearance on Morning Joe this morning. It was really, really bad for him. We're going to get to that in just one second. First, let's talk about embarrassing medical issues. You know, the fact is that medical issues are medical issues, and they don't care whether you're embarrassed by them. But if you are embarrassed by them, they just continue. Well, talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. It's tempting to brush it off or joke about it, pretend it's not happening. With Roman, it's easy to talk about ED with a real doctor who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will then ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, discreet. Getting started is really easy. Just go to GetRoman.com/Shapiro and complete an online visit. ED used to be tough to tackle. Now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today. Connect with a doctor. Get it taken care of. Just go to GetRoman.com/Shapiro to get a free online visit and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/Shapiro for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/Shapiro. GetRoman.com/Shapiro for that free visit to get started and free two-day shipping. GetRoman.com/Shapiro. You got a medical problem? Get it solved. GetRoman.com/Shapiro. Coming up. Joe Biden is starting to open a gap inside the Democratic Party. Some Democrats displeased with Joe Biden's response. Others super happy. Now that means that he had to go on TV. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Please briefly hold. You are very important to us.
Your customers need to get a hold of you and you with them. Make it easier with Podium, the messaging tool for local businesses. Podium helps communicate with customers more efficiently by making your business line textable, giving customers a more convenient way to connect. See why over 40,000 businesses use Podium. Go to podium.com/news or text the code NEWS to 511-511 and save an average of $500. Text NEWS to 511-511 today.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden actually had to go on TV, and it didn't go great for him. And that's because the Democrats were starting to divide over this issue. You have the true believers like Nancy Pelosi. First, I need to show you this tape. That was I'm not sure who compiled it, but it's totally correct. Nancy Pelosi on Tara Reid versus Christine Blasey Ford. So here's what she had to say about Christine Blasey Ford back when Justice Kavanaugh was being questioned. Remember, the phrase credibly accused was being thrown around a lot. Credibly accused. Have you heard credibly accused about Tara Reid? There is more evidence that Tara Reid actually has been telling the story for the same story for 30 years than there ever was that Christine Blasey Ford was telling the truth. Tara Reid is a much more credible witness than Christine Blasey Ford. Flat out. Christine Blasey Ford made an allegation and not a single thing that she said was verifiable. None of it. Tara Reid at least can point to a bunch of people she said, I told them at the time, right? So here is Nancy Pelosi suggesting that Christine Blasey Ford should be believed, that Justice Kavanaugh was probably a rapist. And then we'll hear her on Tara Reid. And suffice it to say, she is not consistent.
There's been statements from his campaign, or not his campaign, but his former employees who ran his offices and the rest, that there was never any record of this.
Instead of asking questions, the Republican leadership fears the truth.
There was never any record. And that nobody ever came forward or nobody...
Really? They're so afraid of the truth, and they're so afraid of woman, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, for the truth that she will tell.
Wow. So that's what she had to say about Christine Blasey Ford way back when. Tara Reid, very different story. Yesterday, Pelosi was asked about this, and she started getting angry at reporters. By the way, this we've been told that every time a politician gets angry at a reporter, ever since Donald Trump, that this is an attack on the free press. Listen to this vicious attack on the free press, putting all of our freedoms at stake. How dare Nancy Pelosi? Here is Nancy Pelosi looking worse and worse these days, honestly. I mean, this is a stressful time for her, being basically ripped up and down by the media and being forced to suggest she doesn't need a lecture.
I respect your question, and I don't need a lecture or a speech. Here's the thing. I have complete respect for the whole Me Too movement. I have four daughters and one son. And there's a lot of excitement around the idea that women will be heard and be listened to. There is also due process. And the fact that Joe Biden is Joe Biden.
Yeah, Joe Biden is Joe Biden. So this was trending yesterday. Joe Biden is Joe. First of all, Joe Biden is Joe Biden. I just don't know if Joe Biden knows that anymore. really, the man is not with us. But Joe Biden is Joe Biden. Isn't that exactly the case that was being made for Brett Kavanaugh? People are saying, well, here's a bunch of women that Brett Kavanaugh knew who never could imagine that he would do anything like this. They're saying, well, that's not good evidence. That you can't say that. He isn't the woman making those aren't the women making the accusation. Joe Biden is Joe Biden is not a defense. So many Democrats begin to buck against this. Hakeem Jeffries from New York. He says, well, you know what? Maybe we should investigate this. Maybe we should actually take a look at this. And the dam starts to break.
This got to be taken seriously because it's a serious allegation raised by a serious individual and needs to be investigated seriously. But in terms of what the appropriate mechanism is, you know, that remains to be seen. I've got to dive deeper into the evidence that has emerged, and I've also got to dive deeper into Joe Biden's response, and we probably should hear from him at some point. Directly as it relates to the allegation.
All right, so the dam starts to break, and people start asking, why isn't Joe Biden going on TV? Why won't Joe Biden answer questions? So, Morning Joe books Joe Biden on this. And this morning, Joe Biden appears on Morning Joe, presumably because he thinks he's going to get a fairly warm treatment. After all, Mika and Joe are not exactly warm to President Trump these days. This is not 2016 anymore. In 2016, they were fairly friendly with Trump all the way through the primaries. Then, of course, Trump turned into Orange Man Bad. But Joe Biden probably expected fairly easy treatment. Instead, Mika Brzezinski clocked him with just a cartoon mallet. Coming up, Joe Biden on Morning Joe. Didn't go great for him. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR. Now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the Breakfast Combo Family Meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the Chicken Fried Steak Family Meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry-out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
And in this case, the truth is the claims are false.
He says, then my standard was that we should rigorously investigate anything and the claims are false. That was not his standard. This was not his standard. He says, I'm saying unequivocally it never happened. It didn't. It never happened. But again, the reality is that Joe Biden did not hold that standard until 5 seconds ago. Joe Biden has completely shifted his standard. His standard was no. His standard was, I'm not going to. I think that if a woman makes an accusation, then we will believe her. But now it's, unless it's me, in which case you should totally fully investigate this. Here's what Biden said in 2018. For a woman to come forward in the glaring lights of focus nationally, you've got to start off with the presumption that at least the essence of what she's talking about is real, whether or not she forgets facts, whether or not it's been made worse or better over time. So Brzezinski asked, is the essence of what she is saying real? Why do you think she's doing this? And Biden says, I'm not going to question her motive. I'm not going to get into that at all. I don't know why she's saying this. I don't know why after 27 years, all of a sudden this gets raised. I don't understand that. But I'm not going to go in and question her motive. I'm not going to attack her. She has the right to say whatever she wants to say. But I have a right to say, look at the facts, check it out, find out if what she says is true. Brzezinski then followed up. She says, as it pertained to Christine Blasey Ford, high-level Democrats said she should be believed. You said if someone like Dr. Ford were to come out, the essence of what she is saying has to be believed. Why? Why is it real for Dr. Ford but not for Tara Reid? And Biden says, I'm not suggesting she has no right to come forward. Any woman, they should be heard, and then it should be investigated. And if there's anything that is consistent with what's being said, and she makes the case or the case is made, it should be believed. But only the truth matters. Again, he is now shifting back to due process, which should have been the original standard. But the problem is, that was never his standard. No one can, the point of this, no one can uphold the standards that Democrats set for Brett Kavanaugh. And this is the point many of us were making at the time, that you have set a bar that is impossible to surpass. It is impossible. It is literally the guilt is the accusation, because believe all women have to be taken seriously, no matter how outlandish their claims, no matter if they're claiming that Brett Kavanaugh was lining up women and boofing them in high school, and that boof actually meant not getting drunk, but raping people, right? The whole thing was ridiculous. And Joe Biden held by that. And then she asked another follow-up, Mika Brzezinski, along the same line. She said, Stacey Abrams said during the Kavanaugh hearings, I believe women. I believe survivors of assault should be supported and voices heard. Kirsten Gillibrand tweeted, do we believe women? Do we give women an opportunity to tell their story? We must be a country that says yes every time. They now both support you. Are women to be believed unless it pertains to you? And Biden says, women are to be believed, given the benefit of the doubt. If they come forward and say something that they said happened to them, they should start off with the presumption that they are telling the truth. Then you have to look at the circumstances and the facts, and the facts in this case do not exist. They never happened. Okay, so now he's shifting his standard, which makes him look pretty bad. Because, again, the standard was never capable of being upheld. And maybe Democrats are willing to allow this sort of shifting standard. And maybe it's better for the world if we go back to a rational standard. I think it is. But let's just acknowledge what happened here. That the Democrats shifted their standard from Nina Burleigh's Time magazine piece in which she claimed that she would perform a Lewinsky on Bill Clinton in order to maintain the propriety of abortion. And they moved from, we don't care about sexual assault if it's a Democrat, to every woman must be believed, when it was Donald Trump, who's in the crosshairs. And then they moved from that to, you know, it'd be great, due process, when it's Joe Biden back in the crosshairs. So just understand, there are no standards for Democrats. None. I've held the same standard all the way through. Allegations have to be substantiated by actual evidence. That should be the standard for all of these things, should it not? Okay, now, Joe Biden was asked on Mika Brzezinski about the document release over at University of Delaware. And he seems stunned that he's even being asked the question. Now he's released a statement trying to clarify. Here he was being stunned. I mean, first of all, Joe Biden has a perennial look of being stunned these days because he is not with us. But here is Mika Brzezinski and Joe Biden.
There are no personnel documents. You can't do that. You wouldn't, for example, if you worked with me or I worked for you and you had my income tax returns, you had my whatever. They're private documents. They're not for they don't get put out in the public. So they're not part of the public record that in fact is that any senator or vice president or president has in their documents.
So, question. Why did you give them to the University of Delaware? Like, basically, you're okay with people perusing your notes, just not right now. So, then you shouldn't have turned them over, buddy. Okay, he puts out a full statement today. And the gall of the man. Here's Joe Biden's full statement that he put out on Friday morning. Quote, April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Every year at this time, we talk about awareness prevention and the importance of women feeling they can step forward, say something, and be heard. That belief that women should be heard was the underpinning of a law I wrote over 25 years ago. To this day, I am most proud of the Violence Against Women Act. So, each April, we are reminded not only of how far we have come in dealing with sexual assault in this country, but how far we still have to go. So, again, he's being, I'm going to use the phrase, credibly accused, because I guess now that's the phrase that we use, credibly accused of sexual assault. And he opens his statement with, here are all the great things I've done for women. I was reliably informed that it does not matter whether you've treated women well your entire career. That has no relevance to a sexual assault allegation. I was reliably informed of that when it came to both Donald Trump and Brett Kavanaugh, actually. Biden continues, when I wrote the bill, few wanted to talk about the issue. It was considered a private matter, a personal matter, a family matter. I didn't see it that way. To me, freedom from fear, harm, and violence for women was a legal right, a civil right, and a human right. And I knew we had to change not only the law, but the culture. So we held hours of hearings and heard from the most incredibly brave women. We opened the eyes of the Senate and the nation. We passed the law. In the years that followed, I fought to continually strengthen the law. So when we took office and President Obama asked me what I wanted, I told him I wanted oversight of the critical appointments in the Office on Violence Against Women at the DOJ, and I wanted a senior White House advisor appointing directly to me on the issue. Both of those things happened. As vice president, we started the It's On Us campaign on college campuses to send the message loud and clear that dating violence is violence and against the law. We had to get men involved. So there's this long preamble about all of these wonderful things that he has done for women. And then he says, it's on us and it's on me as someone who wants to lead this country. I recognize my responsibility to be a voice, an advocate, and a leader for the change in culture that has begun but is nowhere near finished. So I want to address allegations by a former staffer that I engaged in misconduct 27 years ago. Well, no, the allegation is that you forcibly sexually assaulted her, not that you engaged in misconduct. He says, they aren't true. This never happened. While the details of these allegations of sexual harassment and sexual assault are complicated, two things are not complicated. One is that women deserve to be treated with dignity and respect, and when they step forward, they should be heard, not silenced. The second is that their story should be subject to appropriate inquiry and scrutiny. Again, there's that shifting standard. Appropriate inquiry and scrutiny apparently did not involve, you know, actual scrutiny and inquiry for Christine Blasey Ford or any of the women Donald Trump was involved with or any of the rest of us. Responsible news organizations should examine and evaluate the full and growing record of inconsistencies in her story, which has changed repeatedly in both small and big ways. But this much bears emphasizing. She has said she raised some of these issues with her supervisor and senior staffers from my office at the time. They, both men and a woman, have said unequivocally she never came to them and complained or raised issues. News organizations that have talked with literally dozens of former staffers have not found one, not one, who corroborated her allegations in any way. Indeed, many of them spoke to the culture of an office that would not have tolerated harassment in any way, as indeed I would not have. There is a clear critical part of this story that can be verified. The former staffer has said she filed a complaint back in 1993, but she does not have a record of this alleged complaint. The papers from my Senate years that I donated to the University of Delaware do not contain personnel files. It is the practice of senators to establish a library of personal papers that document their public record, speeches, policy proposals, positions taken, and the writing of bills. There is only one place a complaint of this kind could be, the National Archives. There is only one problem with this. This is not true. This is not true. Okay, it is Nicole Einbinder, who is a reporter for, I'm trying to see which outlet, Business Insider. She says, this is not right. She says the National Archives does not hold records from the Personnel Office, the Office of Fair Employment Practices. Instead, a Senate Historical Office staffer said the Fair Employment Practices records are governed by Senate resolution mandating that records containing personal privacy information closed by statute and records of executive nomination are closed for 50 years. That staffer said that the rules for filing a complaint to the Office of Fair Employment Practices were complicated, and it was possible a staffer attempting to do so without proper guidance may not have taken the necessary steps to get an investigation started. According to the congressional testimony from 1995, 479 people contacted the office between 1992 and 1995 seeking assistance. Of those, only 102 entered the office's five-step dispute resolution process, which included a formal complaint and hearing. If Reed's complaint was filed to the Office of Fair Employment Practices, the record will remain closed until 2043. 2043. Also, it is possible the reason that she wants the University of Delaware records exposed is because there are actual records, because she met formally and informally with several Biden aides, according to her, including his former chief of staff, Ted Kaufman, about her concerns, which included allegations she was told she dressed too provocatively and asked to serve drinks at a fundraiser because Biden liked her legs. She believes notes from those discussions would be in any personnel files the archive might contain. So it's not just about a formal complaint. It's also about, did Joe Biden ever mention her in any of his notes? He refuses to release those notes. And now he's putting out a statement lying about how he can't release those notes. So he says, as a presidential candidate, I'm accountable to the American people. We've lived long enough with a president who doesn't think he's accountable to anyone and takes responsibility for nothing. And then he goes on and talks about how we need to stop gender-based violence, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Bottom line is utterly insufficient from Joe Biden. Not by his own standard. Not by his own standard. And by the standards that people held for Trump, by the way. So does that really damage Joe Biden in a race against Trump? He can always point to Trump on a comparative level. He can say, listen, he has a far worse history than I do of bad allegations. And that's true. It is 100% true. It is also true that Joe Biden was perceived widely by the media as pure as the driven snow. Not anymore. It's going to be difficult for him to have these allegations dogging him the rest of the race. Okay, in just a moment, we're going to get to all of your coronavirus updates. By the way, quick further note on Joe Biden. Joe Biden also has now enlisted Chris Dodd to aid in his search for a female vice president. The Connecticut Democrat allegedly assaulted a waitress during his tenure there. There's a famous story where Chris Dodd and Ted Kennedy were sandwiching waitresses. That's literally that was in a report from Michael Kelly writing for GQ. Quote, it is after midnight and Kennedy and Dodd are just finishing up a long dinner in a private room on the first floor of the restaurant's annex. They are drunk. Their dates, two very young blondes, leave the table to go to the bathroom. The dates are drunk too. They'd always get their girls very, very drunk, says a former brasserie waitress. Betty Lowe, who served the foursome, also leaves the room. Apparently, a woman named Carla Gaviglio is told that the senators want to see her. As Gaviglio enters the room, the 6'2", 225-pound-plus Kennedy grabs the 5'3", 103-pound waitress and throws her on the table. Kennedy then picks her up from the table and throws her on Dodd, who is sprawled in a chair. And then Kennedy jumps on top and begins rubbing his genital area against her, supporting his weight on the arms of the chair. So Chris Dodd is there the whole time and involved in this sandwiching. Dodd, she adds, says, it's not my fault. Okay, so that's the guy that Joe Biden just chose to help him search for a female vice president. So good luck there from the Biden campaign. Okay, we're going to move on to other matters that I think concern people more, namely, are we all going to die or not? We'll get to that in just one second. First, you're spending tons of time online these days. Everybody is spending tons of time online these days, not just you, hackers, who would like all of your information. Well, those hackers, I'm sure, are working from home. Without your IT department to protect you from online threats, it's important you take action on your own to secure your devices, because those are the ones you use for work and for business and for buying and for play. This is why I recommend using ExpressVPN for the best online protection possible. I've been talking about ExpressVPN on my show for so long, you already understand why encrypting your network data is so important. Some of you still have not acted. Why? Well, you might be thinking security threats don't affect you. Wrong. Okay, it doesn't affect you until it does. You wouldn't leave your front door unlocked. Why would you leave your computer unlocked? One of the easiest ways to secure your internet data is ExpressVPN. You click one button on your computer or smartphone, you are now protected. So here's the only question. Why haven't you gotten ExpressVPN yet? Visit my special link right now, expressvpn.com/Ben. Get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Protect your internet today with the VPN I trust to keep my data safe. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. expressvpn.com/Ben. Check them out right now, expressvpn.com/Ben. Coming up, seems like many members of the media have a vested interest in lockdowns never ending. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Thank you for calling. Currently, we're with other customers.
You know, the way we do business is changing.
Please briefly hold. You are very important to us.
Your customers need to get a hold of you, and you with them.
Your estimated wait time is 1 hour and 10 minutes.
Make it easier with Podium, the messaging tool for local businesses. Podium helps communicate with customers more efficiently by making your business line textable, giving customers a more convenient way to connect. Your entire team can prioritize the most urgent messages and have access to a shared inbox so everyone can stay in sync. Podium also helps generate online reviews and attract new customers. It can even help with getting paid remotely. Yes, the way we do business has changed, and Podium can make that transition much easier. See why over 40,000 businesses use Podium. Go to podium.com/news or text the code NEWS to 511-511 and save an average of $500. Text NEWS to 511-511 today.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts. Remove.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Food service, supply techs, and other support staff. These people help save lives in medical centers, outpatient clinics, and community living centers. We're hiring in every state, and we've made the process faster. Will you join us on the front line? Visit va.gov/join us to find out how.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So media have set up a standard for ending lockdowns that is completely unsurpassable. They've moved the goalposts so far that there's just no way to ever surpass the goalposts. It seems that many in the media now have a vested interest in locking down forever. And the case they are making is not that they have a good alternative, that locking down forever is even credible. It is not credible. People are going to go out. They are. And politicians understand right now, because of the media coverage, that the best available option for them is blame Trump for the economy and then take credit for saving lives by locking down your city or locking down your neighborhood. Unless you're a responsible governor, in which case you are looking to responsibly reopen. And there are some bipartisan responsible governors. Again, you're looking at people like Jared Polis in Colorado looking at reopening. He doesn't get any sort of media play because they're too busy, the media, turning this into a polarized political issue when it shouldn't be politicized. Here's the narrative the media are now generating. The media is that if you want to reopen in any way, it's because you don't care about human life. That is the and this follows hard on the Joe Biden line. So Joe Biden has been saying since the beginning of the week, his new line is, we need to fly flags at half staff, that this is going to fix everything. So I played that clip a little bit earlier of Joe Biden stumbling and bumbling his way through that suggestion. Within 4 hours, the New York Times on its front page put a piece suggesting that President Trump is mean and doesn't care about dead people. The actual headline was, amid a rising death toll, Trump leaves the grieving to others. You see, Trump's really mean and terrible. By the way, here was Donald Trump yesterday talking about mourning for every life lost.
Tragically obscene, the virus poses the greatest risk to older Americans. Together as one nation, we mourn for every precious life that has been lost. And there have been many. There have been many. We're so saddened by it. Through our aggressive actions and the devotion of our doctors and nurses, however, we have held our fatality rate far below hard-hit other countries such as Spain and Italy and United Kingdom and Sweden.
Yeah, also, first of all, when it comes to the fatality per million rate, that's not actually true. We are below UK, we are below Spain, we are below Italy, we are not below Sweden. And I don't know why he's beating up on Sweden these days, other than Trump himself seems confused as to what his actual policy should be here. The point here is that the media have generated a narrative. The narrative is, if you reopen, you're killing people. And if you call for reopening, you're calling for killing people. And so they're going to pick on Trump here. The headline at the New York Times was, as the death toll from the coronavirus over 8 weeks surpasses the total American military casualties in 8 years of major combat in Vietnam, Mr. Trump has led no national mourning. That sentence in and of itself demonstrates how stupid the media coverage is. That's Peter Baker from the New York Times. This is not a war. This is not a war of choice like Vietnam. This is not we got in and the military strategy decided how many people would die. That is not how this works. Like, this is a pandemic disease. Are you insane? Anybody who makes a Vietnam War comparison, it's amazing. You get blasted by the media if you compare this to the flu, because it is not like the flu in terms of deadliness or ease of spread. But it's a lot more like the flu than it is like the Vietnam War. The Vietnam War was not contagious, you morons. The Vietnam War was about military strategy. I'm going to need a way in which this is like the Vietnam War other than there are a lot of dead people. It is utterly unlike the Vietnam War. And yet you keep hearing this comparison because the idea is that it's Trump's Vietnam. Always, it's Trump's Katrina. It's Trump's Vietnam. It's just irresponsible nonsense. And again, all of this is driving a narrative. The narrative is that you're very mean and very bad if you try to reopen the economy. And the media love picking the nuts, right? They like picking on the people who are being most irresponsible in protesting this sort of stuff. So, for example, yesterday, there were a bunch of protesters who descended on the Michigan Capitol because the Michigan legislators are voting on whether to extend the stay-at-home orders. And in the dumbest possible fashion, protesters show up carrying guns. And by the way, I will note, even this was miscovered by the media. Here's what's dumb about this. Screaming at police officers who are attempting to enforce social distancing, getting right in their faces while the police officers are only wearing medical masks, which means that the police officers are protecting others from being infected. But a medical mask, unless it's an N95, is not going to protect you from being infected by others because you intake air every time you breathe. And getting right in the faces of police officers who are just trying to protect legislators and keep people safe is idiotic. Do not do it. It is idiotic. And showing up here with guns as though you're going to invade the Capitol is a horrible look. It is a stupid look. I've been saying for a while, you want to protest this stuff? Go right ahead and protest it. Here's how you should do it. You should go to the Capitol. You should socially distance. You should wear a mask because the whole point you're making is you're responsible enough not to infect tons of other people. You're responsible enough to be given your freedom. So when you appear to be irresponsible and crazy, all you are doing is giving the other side the baton to smack you with. It's really, really stupid. Okay, these were bad optics. It was stupid optics. Again, I think most of the people there are well-meaning. I think most of the people there are correct that the economy should reopen, but you're really doing the opposite of what you are intending to do with stuff like this. And the media loves it, right? The media are totally into it. By the way, when I say the media has covered even this, let's be frank about this. It is not against the law to come to the Capitol with a gun unless they can show hostile intent. So members of the media, because they're scared of guns and they think the guns are inherently evil, they think it shows hostile intent to show up anywhere with a gun. So they said a pro-gun rally in Virginia, which involved like 10,000 people bringing guns and involved zero actual violence, was super, super threatening. Anytime reporters see a gun, they freak out. Also, quick note on media malfeasance here. Every single one of those protesters was temperature checked before they entered the building. That doesn't mean they're coronavirus free. There's asymptomatic transmission. It does mean that these people were nonviolent enough to submit to a temperature check before entering the Michigan Capitol. Okay, put all that aside. So on the one side, you have the people in the media who obviously want to lock down forever. And then you have people like this who are being irresponsible in how they protest and creating bad optics and being stupid. And then you have everybody in the middle who's like, you know what, guys? There are serious costs to this thing, and we're going to have to reopen. I'm amused to see that the New York Times is finally recognizing that capitalism raises people out of poverty, and that when you shut down forcibly the world economy, that people get poor again. There's an article in the New York Times that sort of tacitly admits this. There's a headline, millions who had risen out of poverty are pulled back in by the pandemic. Let's be frank. It's not just the pandemic that has pulled people back into poverty. It is governments forcibly shutting down the free market economy that has pulled people back into poverty and changing free market economy conditions based on people not going out and participating in a free market economy. If government was the solution to poverty, I'm wondering, why did millions of people just sink back into poverty during the greatest government enforcement action in the history of mankind, transnationally? Just wondering, just worth noting. In the real world, shutting down the economy is actually quite a bad thing, quite a bad and foolish thing for doing it very long. And what you're seeing is people who are taking actions that are completely unrelated to responsibility. So Gavin Newsom in California, again, the media have created this bizarre perception, super bizarre, that Gavin Newsom in California has done an amazing job. Ron DeSantis in Florida has been evil and horrible. Greg Abbott in Texas has been evil and horrible. Last I checked, California has about 5 deaths per 100,000 population from coronavirus. Texas has 3 deaths per 100,000 population from coronavirus. Florida has 6 deaths per 100,000 population from coronavirus. So why is it that Gavin Newsom is a hero and Ron DeSantis is a fool when Ron DeSantis has about the same stats as Gavin Newsom, except he didn't shut down his entire state? Okay, the chances of you dying of the disease, I read the stats yesterday, are extraordinarily low for young people. And so what you're going to start seeing is everybody treating this like Sweden. That's what's going to happen. And that's the responsible way to treat this thing. It's just everybody's late on it. Of course. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Dozens of states are letting restaurants, stores, and other businesses reopen in the biggest one-day push yet to get their economies up and running, but some states aren't acting fast enough for their citizens.
The arrival of a new month brought with it anti-shutdown protests around the country. In Chicago, small business owner Chris Clifford warned,
"As the weather gets warmer, I have a real concern that things are going to escalate significantly."
In Sacramento, California, Governor Gavin Newsom had advice for the protesters outside.
"Take care of yourself. Wear a face covering."
Washington Governor Jay Inslee extended his stay-at-home order.
"We have not won this fight against this virus."
Mike Gross here with that report. Where is North Korea's leader? BBC's Laura Bicker has this.
Kim Jong-un is seen cutting a large ribbon at a fertilizer plant in Sinchon in his first public appearance in state media since April the 11th. Another photograph shows him laughing with officials, and state media claimed all the participants broke into thunderous cheers of hurrah when he appeared.
After 20 days of questions about where he's been, the Korean Central News Agency released photos of Kim and his sister, Kim Yo-jong. U.S. regulators are allowing emergency use of the experimental drug remdesivir that appears to be the first drug shown to help fight COVID-19. Gilead Science CEO Daniel O'Day says the company will give away some of the drug.
"We want to make sure nothing gets in the way of these patients getting the medicine, so we made a decision to donate about 1.5 million vials of remdesivir. We'll be working with the government to determine how best to distribute that."
O'Day says the company will work to boost production. On Wall Street today, the Dow opened the month in the red, falling 622 points. The Nasdaq dropped 285. More at townhall.com.
Are you tired of all the garbage that Hollywood puts out? Why not redeem the time you're spending at home with your family and watch something that affirms our American values? For a limited time, you can purchase No Safe Spaces, starring Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla. Go to nosafespaces.com to stream the number one political documentary of 2019. Free speech is under attack now more than ever. Politicians on the left are threatening to permanently shut down churches and synagogues, and we can't even open a debate about when we return to work. There is no more important time to watch No Safe Spaces, the movie that the hard left does not want you to see. Go to nosafespaces.com. Use the code SAVE25 to get 25% off your purchase. That's SAVE25. This offer is only available for a limited time. Send the message to Hollywood that you support movies that support your values. Go to nosafespaces.com today.
The Supreme Court will hear unprecedented arguments on Monday by phone.
Work-at-home rules are extending to the Supreme Court. For just the second time, justices will meet outside the court since the Supreme Court building opened in 1935. Arguments will be heard by telephone. The first argument is Monday. The court will hear 10 cases over 6 days. Among the cases, President Trump's bid to keep certain financial records private.
That is Ed Donahue reporting. South Africa began easing one of the world's strictest lockdowns today, with runners and dog walkers returning eagerly to the streets. But not everybody was wearing face masks that are now mandatory in the country with Africa's most coronavirus cases. In Johannesburg, Cape Town, and elsewhere, people took a breath of fall air. Some headed to the malls to buy warm clothes for the winter, which is the upcoming flu season. This is townhall.com. Testing for COVID-19 has increased in Virginia, with yesterday being the largest number of single-day tests yet. Governor Ralph Northam says doctors will soon be able to expand the types of patients that qualify to be tested.
In a news briefing, Governor Northam said that Virginia had administered over 5,000 tests on Wednesday and around 5,800 Thursday, which marked the largest number of tests administered in Virginia in a single day since the first case of COVID-19 was discovered in the Commonwealth. Northam said that though the daily cases of COVID-19 continue to rise, the rate of hospitalizations has not, and so the Commonwealth's health care facilities have not been overwhelmed. The governor said that Virginia has turned to private labs to administer more tests, and they hope to gain more support for the private sector to increase the capacity for testing. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster ending the state's stay-at-home order on Monday. Outdoor dining areas can reopen as well. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In May, we're discussing how to design the perfect character and giving authors the right tools to make sure that their characters are people, not caricatures. In June, we're discussing the four-letter words of the writing world.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Reopen. As predicted, what we have seen is a bunch of countries that are seeing a second wave of infections. That's not called the second wave. That's called the first wave. It's just that you were all locked down. A second wave would be presumably the thing goes away of its own accord, and then sometime in the fall it comes back. That's not what happened here. This is like saying that you see a second wave of car crashes when people start driving again. The car crashes never stopped. You just weren't driving. And that's what's happening here. People are going out. They're engaging in industry again. People are starting to get out of their houses again, and that means people are in contact with other human beings. That means the thing will spread some more. According to the UK Sun, the world is on a knife edge as coronavirus cases spike and cities shut down again after lockdowns are lifted. The dangers of easing restrictions have been highlighted this week. After Germany and Spain saw cases spike as they tried to edge out of a quarantine, China was forced to tighten regulations to fight off a second wave. I've been seeing unverified reports from China that China has actually been trying to stop the export of personal protective equipment again because they're seeing such an outbreak again. According to the Sun, Germany has been slowly easing its lockdown after faring better than its European neighbors, but allowing non-essential businesses to reopen around a week ago. The country reported 1,304 new cases of the virus on Wednesday, up from 1,100 on Tuesday and 1,000 on Monday. The country's virus reproduction rate, known as R, which measures how many people the average person with COVID-19 infects, has bounced back to just below 1. That means that the virus is infecting one other person on average. Earlier this month, the rate was at 0.7. Chancellor Angela Merkel has warned if the R rate increases even slightly above 1, the country's health service faces being overwhelmed. She says that if that happens, then by October, we'll be back at the limits of the health system in terms of intensive care beds. Now, notice what she is saying. She's not saying that if this remains below 1, we'll shut down because, you know, we can't have anybody getting infected. She's saying that this is still a flattening of the curve scenario where you're attempting not to swamp the healthcare system. Well, the United States didn't swamp the healthcare system. I've seen few estimates that the United States is going to swamp the healthcare system. And so that means that people, nothing's going to change between now and a month from now and 2 months from now. The question is, at this point, what are you waiting for? And there are only a couple of answers that I've heard. One is a therapeutic drug. Okay, you can hope for that. We haven't seen anything yet. Two would be a vaccine. That ain't coming for a while. Three would be a testing and tracing system. That is designed to prevent spikes that overwhelm the healthcare system. It doesn't mean you're not going to get infected. So with all of that said, the gradual reopening of society is necessary. And hilariously enough, the WHO yesterday declared, hey, maybe Spain did this right. In Spain, maybe they did this. In Sweden, maybe they did this right. Because Sweden, of course, never did the lockdown. Sweden just said, okay, we understand this is going to pass through the population. So long as it doesn't overwhelm our healthcare system, we're done. And you know what? Sweden is going to be okay. And there won't be a second wave because it's not a wave. It was an artificial suppression of the spread of the virus. They never underwent that artificial suppression. So the virus never stopped spreading. And now that means there won't be a wave. In Austria, new cases have remained below 100 for nearly 2 weeks now since reopening some non-essential shops. The country plans to ease more restrictions throughout May, allowing businesses, even hotels, to reopen, abandoning restrictions on non-essential movement. In Denmark, the number of new daily cases have stayed under 200, apart from a spike of 235 on April 25th. They began lifting their restrictions on April 15th, reopening schools, before allowing more shops and hairdressers to reopen this week. Norway, Czech Republic, Poland also seeing tentative signs that this is moving in the right direction. So, you know, the innate, insane, critical behavior of the media with regard to the prospect of reopening, it is evidence-free at this point. It truly is. It is one thing to say we can't reopen in New York because if we do, this thing will spread super fast and it'll overwhelm the system. Okay, got it. Got it. By the way, you know what ain't going to help? Andrew Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio, after weeks of nothing, saying, you know what, overnight we're going to shut down the subways and we're going to spray them. Okay, that's great. You sprayed the subway. Now people get on the subway at 7 o'clock in the morning again. And by 9, the entire subway system is infected. Well done. You protected everybody who's on that very first ride and nobody else. That's essentially what New York has done. Meanwhile, the notion that if you reopen, you're a bad person, or if you're for reopening, you're a bad person who wants people to die, it's just insane and ridiculous, obviously. And you're seeing this headline, like, everywhere, over and over and over. Jeff Spross over at The Week has a piece called Republicans Literally Want to Work Americans to Death. Oh, really? Do we? We literally want to work Americans to death. Well, if that were the case, then why wouldn't we just kill them? Like, seriously, like, the goal apparently is the death, not the work. You know who doesn't want to work Americans to death? People who want to see the supply chains remain open. Because if the workers die, you know what happens? The supply chains close again. Republicans just want to see a functional economy. But this is the people who are pro-lockdown, because they don't have data to support their position anymore, they're now relegated to screaming at the top of their lungs. It's just screaming at the top of their lungs that anyone who opposes them wants people to die, which is just it's idiocy of the highest order. Again, it goes back to what we've been talking about for several days. Every public policy takes into account various risk factors, particularly among populations. And to pretend that that does not happen, and that anybody who has a different risk assessment from you and who wants to protect as many lives as humanly possible, while also acknowledging that risks exist in human life, that all those people just want people to die, it's ridiculous. So this idiot columnist at The Week, he says, the Republican Party represents regular working stiffs, the forgotten men and women of America who have been left behind by the country's effete liberal elites. Or at least that's the message that President Trump's GOP leadership and the American right in general have been pushing for years. But while their words are one thing, their actions are another. And the actions of Trump and his fellow Republicans during the coronavirus pandemic suggest they see American workers as nothing but cannon fodder to be sacrificed in the name of a rejuvenated economy. Cannon fodder? Truly? You notice these people as cannon fodder. Democrats who think that you can literally just pay people to stay home and it doesn't matter if they have jobs, it doesn't matter if they die deaths of despair, it doesn't matter if their families break up, it doesn't matter if they ever get a job again. That's the cannon fodder mentality. People who are telling people to strike in a time when there are 30 million people unemployed in the last 5 weeks alone. So what is his example of Republicans being mean, bad, very, very bad and mean? His example is the president's executive order from earlier this week telling meatpacking plants to remain open. The industry has become a hotspot for COVID-19 outbreaks. Facilities are shutting down. At least 20 workers in meat and food processing have died. And thousands have either been infected or have had to self-quarantine. Okay, so let's point out something. That's terrible. Every one of those deaths is terrible. You know, here's another terrible thing. If meat supply across the entire United States stops, how fast do you think people are going to riot if they can't get meat at the supermarket for more than a week? Seriously, you think the American people are going vegan? You know who disproportionately is eating meat? People who are living in poor areas, who need to go to the supermarket and get food they can eat. So apparently, you're mean if you're balancing the needs of consumers in the United States who have families to feed and children to feed with the need to remain safe at meatpacking plants. Apparently, the only thing we're supposed to be worried about is danger at the meatpacking plants. We're not supposed to worry about the complete breakdown in the food chain, in the food supply chains in the United States, because that has no consequences. If people go to the supermarket and it's completely out and there's no food, you know, that's just the consequences of health. Are you insane? Are you insane? Facilities are shutting down. Says this guy, pork and beef processing has already fallen 25%. The Trump administration was concerned capacity could be cut by as much as 80%. But we're not supposed to be worried about that. All we're supposed to do is say, okay, well, I guess everybody just doesn't eat meat. I love that this guy says Trump's order comes from his authority under the Defense Production Act. I've written myself about how Trump needs to put the DPA to much wider use to rationalize the economic production of crucial needs like ventilators, tests, masks, and gloves. Food is obviously a crucial need, too. The challenge of the coronavirus pandemic is that going to work is now risky. That's where Trump's order turns ominous. Reporting suggests vague promises from the White House that the government will provide additional protective gear and safety guidance to the meatpacking industry. But thus far, the White House's record on both counts is pretty appalling. Question, do you think that the meat packers want their employees to die? Is that what you think? Again, can you imagine how bad things get? If meat packers start to drop en masse, you're going to be hard-pressed to get employees in there. You think meat packers associations don't have an interest in protecting their employees? But again, if you want the economy to reopen, then you are relegated to the you want people to die perspective. Amanda Mull has a piece over at The Atlantic yesterday. Georgia's experiment in human sacrifice. Human sacrifice. Now, weird, because Governor Steve Bullock in Montana, Democrat, he has kept the economy open. Jared Polis in Colorado, he's reopening the economy. Tim Walz in Minnesota, reopening the economy. Janet Mills in Maine, reopening the economy. Janet Mills in Maine. All Democrats, all in the reopening camp. But apparently it's all evil, evil Republicans. Terrible, evil, evil, terrible Republicans. The piece from Timothy Egan the other day, how Republicans became the party of death. I kind of get the feeling that you guys are setting up a bar that it is impossible to surpass. If the idea is that your policy means no one will ever die in human history, then that's going to be really difficult for anybody to surpass. But if it turns out that public policymaking is very difficult with risks and trade-offs, then you're just being an idiot. Hint, everybody's being an idiot. At least everybody in the media. Or a lot of people in the media. Like the complete failure to recognize the reality of trade-offs is the last vestige of a dying program. When you're relegated to screaming at the top of your lungs that your opponents just wish death upon people, that's because you have no actual argument. None. Ridiculous. Okay, for weeks I've been telling you all about FreedomWorks' Love America campaign, and it's great. You should continue to socially distance. You should call your relatives. You should make sure that people are okay. You should make sure that elderly people can get food. All of that is great. Also, you need to pressure your governors and the White House to start taking action to create plans for people getting back to work. The economy cannot take this. It will have cost in human lives. It will have cost in depression and suicide. It will have cost in quality of life. All of these things matter. FreedomWorks knows that. If you want to get involved, text my name, Ben, to 41490. Help FreedomWorks reopen America. The government cannot continue to spend trillions of dollars this way in debt that we're never going to repay. It will result in inflating the currency on the back end, people's savings going away, people's dreams going away, people's businesses shutting down. To pretend that none of these factors matter is to be a complete hypocrite and a ridiculous hypocrite at that. Americans who are healthy want to go back to work, and governors should be allowing people who are responsible to take their own decisions. This is a free country. That's why we need to start pressuring governors and the White House for responsible plans to reopen. This cannot just be trust us until we're ready to reopen. Guess what? I don't trust Gavin Newsom. I don't. Text Ben to 41490. Send your governor and the White House a message. Again, text Ben to 41490. That is Ben to 41490. And help out my friends over at FreedomWorks with all of this. Okay, so speaking of the countervailing risks, and there are countervailing risks. There's a model from the Network Science Institute at Northeastern University. They predict that by the end of the summer, 100,000 Americans will have died. They also estimate there will be about 89,000 deaths by mid-May, even if the stay-at-home orders remain in place. So what they're actually suggesting is that if there are no stay-at-home orders, then what you will see is basically an additional 11,000 deaths. They say the death toll will increase to over 1 million in an unmitigated scenario, but that is not a reality. There is no situation in which we all go back to ballparks tomorrow with no masks and no social distancing. That is not a thing that is happening. So what exactly will be the final death count? It'll certainly be higher than it is right now, which is 62,000. It would be surprising if by the end of the summer we have not hit 89,000, according to this model. It would also be relatively surprising if, over the course of the next year, if nothing is done, if that number doesn't increase. That is the predictable result of having people out in the economy. Now, what is your plan? Seriously, what is your plan? Is your plan that we're going to lock down until there's a vaccine, of which there is no guarantee? Is your plan that you're just going to shut down state parks for no apparent reason because you're an idiot like Gavin Newsom in California, who, by the way, has mitigated his order. His original order was, we are going to shut down all of the beaches in California. And San Diego was like, no. And then he's like, okay, fine, just Orange County. Idiot. Everybody's just going to drive to Oxnard. Everybody's just going to drive to San Diego. You want to see overcrowding? Keep shrinking the areas where people can gather, and you will see overcrowding. This is like if I said to my three children, okay, guys, you can't play in the oldest one's room, and you can't play in the youngest one's room. You can only play in one of the other rooms. Now you have all three kids in the same room. These public policies have nothing to do with good reason and risk mitigation. At this point, it's just people acting out of gut knowledge that the media is going to defend lockdown orders while bashing people who stand in favor of responsible reopening. And speaking of media malfeasance, in just a second, we're going to get to the media completely botching the record on President Trump's response to all of this. The Trump administration, in terms of policy, has gotten people what they need. Not if you listen to the media. If you listen to the media, Trump has blown this. We'll get to that in just one moment. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
You know, the way we do business is changing.
Please briefly hold. You are very important to us.
Your customers need to get a hold of you, and you with them.
Your estimated wait time is 1 hour and 10 minutes.
Make it easier with Podium, the messaging tool for local businesses. Podium helps communicate with customers more efficiently by making your business line textable, giving customers a more convenient way to connect. Your entire team can prioritize the most urgent messages and have access to a shared inbox so everyone can stay in sync. Podium also helps generate online reviews and attract new customers. It can even help with getting paid remotely. Yes, the way we do business has changed, and Podium can make that transition much easier. See why over 40,000 businesses use Podium. Go to podium.com/news or text the code NEWS to 511-511 and save an average of $500. Text NEWS to 511-511 today.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Okay, the utter and essential dishonesty of members of the media who are taking people out of context on this pandemic thing is truly is extraordinary. It's extraordinary. So you remember early on, President Trump suggested that the Democrats were engaged in a hoax by blaming him for all the impacts of coronavirus. And this became a talking point for the Democrats, who then claimed that Trump was actually saying that coronavirus itself was a hoax. He never said coronavirus itself was a hoax, but this became the talking point. And Nancy Pelosi went on TV and repeated it every day. It didn't matter. It was a four Pinocchio claim, according to the Washington Post. Did not matter. It has been trotted out ever since to claim that President Trump claimed that coronavirus itself was a hoax. Well, now the Democrats have a second round of this. So Jared Kushner, who's a chief advisor to the president, he goes on television and he says, listen, the federal response to this thing has been a success story. Not the coronavirus is a success story. The federal government's response to this is a success story because we responded as governors need us to respond. Here's what Jared Kushner said, and then we'll explain, and then we'll show how it has been deliberately twisted by members of the media to suggest that Jared Kushner is celebrating 60,000 dead Americans. It's just this kind of stuff is just sheer garbage. Here is Jared Kushner on Fox and Friends the other day.
We're on the other side of the medical aspect of this, and I think that we've achieved all the different milestones that are needed. So the federal government rose to the challenge, and this is a great success story. And I think that that's really, you know, what needs to be told.
Okay, so again, he is saying that the federal government's success here is a story that needs to be told. 100% true. 100% true. All you've seen, you saw it for weeks. Where are the ventilators? Where are the ventilators? Why isn't Trump doing a better job on ventilators? People are going to die because they don't have ventilators. First of all, that was always exaggerated to a certain extent because guess what the death rate on ventilators is? It is, by most studies, in excess of 90%. But beyond all of that, guess what didn't happen? 30,000 ventilators needed in New York. It was not necessary. And when Trump said they're not going to need 30,000 ventilators in New York, he was torn apart for it. Andrew Cuomo says they will. How many ventilators were needed? Not 30. I don't believe they needed 10. The federal government got them the ventilators. The federal government has been responsible for getting people the personal protective equipment. The federal government has been responsible for a $7 trillion bailout. The federal government response here has been as active as any response in the history of America and more active than virtually all of them. And you know who is saying that sort of stuff? Democrats. Governor Phil Murphy of New Jersey. No ally to the president of the United States. He says, New Jersey's getting pretty hard hit right now. He says, listen, the federal government is giving us the supplies we need. We're receiving what we need from the Trump administration. You've heard the same message from Andrew Cuomo. You've heard the same message from Gavin Newsom. Jay Inslee. Democrats across the nation have been consistently saying over and over and over, we asked the federal government for this, and we got it. Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan says this. And I'm shocked that the Trump administration has not cut an ad so far, or the Trump campaign has not cut an ad that just has all the various Democrats saying we asked for what we need and we got it. Because that is true. Here is Phil Murphy yesterday saying this.
Can't thank the president and his team enough in terms of what we've gotten already, in terms of ventilators, bed capacity for the Army Corps, PPE, et cetera. But we are embarking upon a very significant partnership to more than double expand our testing amounts and numbers in New Jersey by at latest the end of May.
Okay, so there he is explaining the federal government has done its job. The federal government, I know, buried lead. The federal government has done its job. This is not Trump's Katrina. By the way, Bush's Katrina wasn't Bush's Katrina. But this is not Trump's Katrina. It's not Trump's Vietnam. The Trump administration, put aside the dumb stuff that Trump says in press conferences. Here's the reality. The federal government did its job. That is a success story. The media will not tell that success story. I would guarantee that if you do a search for ventilators right now in the media, if you just search the word ventilators at the New York Times and the media, you will see this enormous spike in the early days when the demands were ventilators, 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 ventilators. And then the federal government got them the ventilators and then whoosh, gone. When's the last time you heard somebody on national TV mention the word ventilators? It's been a while, huh? You know why? Because New York didn't exhaust its need for it didn't exhaust the supply of ventilators. No one has. Remember when they said we don't have enough hospital beds in New York and the feds were like, okay, but we'll get you the hospital beds you need? Guess what didn't happen? An overrun of the hospital system. Andrew Cuomo sent away the U.S. Navy ship Comfort. So when Jared Kushner says it was a success story by the federal government, that's because it was a success story by the federal government. And they continue to work to provide for the needs of states, many of which should have been providing for these needs themselves. Okay, so this all leads up to the media deliberately misinterpreting Kushner because Kushner is very bad. He's a very bad guy because Jared Kushner works for Trump and he's related to Trump because he's married to Trump's daughter. And this means that Kushner is bad and evil and terrible and no good and very bad. I'm not a big fan of nepotism either. But to pretend that Jared Kushner is unique in the history of American politics is a complete absurdity. This goes back quite a way. The person who was effectively running the country when Woodrow Wilson went down in 1919, right? He had a heart attack and he was basically not with us, was Edith. His wife was running the country. His son-in-law, McAdoo, William McAdoo, was the Secretary of War so the Jared Kushner of his time was the Secretary of War, not an advisor to the president, the Secretary of War under Woodrow Wilson, I believe. So nepotism, the Kennedys, the Clintons. Yeah, tell me about nepotism. Okay, so here was The View. Here was The View yesterday, deliberately misinterpreting Kushner's comments to suggest that he was saying that it was a success that 60,000 people had died.
Jared Kushner has been sort of the behind-the-scenes task force leader, Corona task force leader. He's been instrumental in this response, this piss poor response, and 60,000 Americans have lost their lives. So to call this a rousing success story is shocking. It's cruel.
Okay, Sonny Hostin, I'd like to hear you define the piss poor response. Really, what should they have done better? What were the things they should have done better? And the Democrats were stumping for heavily in February. And really, the widespread media lie that the federal government's response has been piss poor is absolutely rebutted by Democratic governor after Democratic governor saying we asked for what we needed and then we got it from the feds. The attempt to twist what Kushner is saying into yes, we're happy with 60,000. That is insane. It's totally insane. But again, this is the media basically saying that Trump is a bad, mean man who doesn't care about human beings, and that's why he wants to reopen. And it's all ridiculous. You're listening to the Ben Shapiro Show.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
In these uncertain times, do you need a much-needed break from cooking? If so, let Mary's Pizza Shack take care of you with their to-go delivery, curbside pickup. Mary's is offering to-go beer and wine at a special discounted rate. And as always, they have their famous pizza, pasta, soups, and salads. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Friday and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. From Mary's family to yours, please be safe.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Freeme is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell, branch manager. NMLS number 1067640. PRMI NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for an additional source of income, this is the answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your mortgage payment. Another benefit, extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, but when you call Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage, Rich can counsel you to see if this is a fit for you. If it fits, then life just got easier for you. You see, Rich Pinnell and Primary Residential Mortgage specialize in reverse mortgages. Rich's experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call Primary Residential Mortgage. They're happy to help. 530-722-4579. Or go to rich4reverses.com. That's rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
Shasta College has been a vital part of this community for over 70 years. Look around. You probably know many of our successful graduates serving our community in high-demand, high-growth fields like nursing, law enforcement, accounting, communications, and agriculture. Summer enrollment is happening now. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply to enroll for the summer semester. Classes start June 8th. Looking for a transfer? Save money and time by spending your first 2 years at Shasta College before you transfer to a university. High school students, summer is the perfect time to earn college credit with no tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
No tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
And the Ad Council. Migraines can attack anytime, anywhere. Now there's a new kind of pill you can take anytime, anywhere to treat them. Introducing Ubrelvy, or Ubrogepant. Ubrelvy can provide relief from migraine pain and debilitating symptoms without worrying where you are or if it's too late.
People took Ubrelvy within 4 hours of a migraine attack. One dose can quickly stop a migraine in its tracks within 2 hours. And many had pain relief in just 1 hour.
Ubrelvy treats migraine attacks in adults and is not for migraine prevention. It is available by prescription only. Do not take Ubrelvy with strong CYP3A4 inhibitors. Tell your healthcare provider about all the medicines you take. Few people had side effects. The most common were nausea, 2-4%, and tiredness, 2-3%.
While normal routines have shifted, the need for migraine treatment remains the same. Contact your healthcare provider to see if Ubrelvy is right for you. Ubrelvy, the anytime, anywhere migraine medicine. Learn about support and resources at Ubrelvy.com or call 844-4-U-B-R-E-L-V-Y. Sponsored by Allergan.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Our number 855-236-3228, 855-236-3228. Jessica in Michigan, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Jessica.
Hi, Ben. Thank you for taking my call today. I own a real estate company here in Clarkston, Michigan. As you've probably heard, there were some protests yesterday at the Capitol. I was one of them. I only held out to be on the lawn. I didn't go into the building. I was really calling because I own a real estate company, and in 48 states, not including Michigan, realtors are essential. In Michigan, appraisers are essential, inspectors are essential, title companies are essential, and mortgage companies are essential. So everyone except for realtors is essential. So I have clients who literally can't buy a house right now, and they're homeless, living with friends, because we can't take them to go look at houses. And so I was really curious if you think that if I defied the order and got a ticket for that or got arrested or got a misdemeanor, which is the threat, do you think that that would uphold in court that it's now been 8 weeks that I've been trapped in my home? The government has given me literally nothing because they said that I made too much money last year to be eligible. I can't continue to decide between paying my mortgage or paying my groceries. What will happen if I got arrested?
Yeah, so let's talk about that. And then I have questions about how the protest went. So you only see the media coverage. Sure. So I'd be curious to hear how it went out on the lawn. So first of all,
yes,
if you got a ticket for defying the order, the high likelihood is that it would hold up in lower court, and then you'd have to elevate it all the way up to the federal courts and say that your federal civil rights have been violated, that there is no good rational basis reason why realtors should not be allowed to work. I think that if you elevated it to the federal level, there's a good shot that you'd be able to beat the misdemeanor ticket. The problem is it would cost you so much money to go to a lawyer to beat the misdemeanor ticket. That's basically what Whitmer is betting on. What she's betting on is you don't have the resources or the will to drag that out for a process that'll be a year long to avoid a $1,000 ticket. So you'll either just pay the $1,000 ticket or you won't, and that'll be that. And she's probably right. I mean, for most people, that is indeed the case. The fact is that there can be no rational basis for everybody except for realtors gets to work right now. I mean, it's just this is insane. I mean, it is totally insane. These governors are picking essential businesses, and they're doing it almost out of a hat. They're almost just declaring certain businesses essential and certain businesses non-essential, not on the basis of anything rational, but based simply on going down a checkboxed list and then randomly selecting from the Chinese menu. It's totally wild. So I think you have a very solid case. I mean, you should talk to a federal civil rights lawyer if that's something you're interested in doing. But honestly, I don't see how that holds up in federal court, like on a raw level. Now, don't take my legal advice as the purest form of good advice here. You should talk to somebody who's more expert than I. But it seems like even rational basis review would not be able to uphold the distinction between a realtor and an appraiser in essential business. Again, I think that Whitmer is going to have to start releasing people from this lockdown sooner rather than later. I would be surprised if she continues the lockdown for another month in the way that she has so far, although she is running for vice president and she's gotten all sorts of media attention for doing it. So you never know. The political considerations are really bad. So, Jessica, tell me about the protest yesterday, because all we saw from the media, obviously, were the people who actually went inside the Capitol. My understanding is they were temperature checked. I don't have a problem with people showing up with guns per the law. But it seems to me bad optics to get up in the face of cops and scream at cops and get in people's faces without masks. It seems to be sort of the opposite of what people are promoting, which is I can run my business responsibly without providing a danger to others to do all of that. What was it like outside the Capitol?
As you well know, Ben, the pictures that you're seeing on the Internet are not really describing what actually happened yesterday. One thing that I was really impressed by was how the media intentionally didn't say that Sheriff Clark was there speaking to the crowd, which I had no idea was going to happen. I had no idea if the protest was still going on because Facebook removed all ads in relation to it. So I honestly went, as a Republican, as a conservative, and as a business owner, I'm impressed with how much real Republicans have time to protest after you take away their jobs. So I know that other people seem to have a lot of time to protest, but since I can't work, I have nothing to do but to protest this measure. So I was there. I was standing on the lawn. The police were walking completely through the crowd. The Michigan State Police was walking there. Everyone was standing on the lawn, you know, probably maybe not 6 feet apart, but every, you know, household was standing in a clump. And the police were walking through the crowd safely. It's not honest that people were screaming in the faces of cops. If you take a picture from the side, which is where that picture of what looks like men screaming in place in the faces of cops, you can't tell how far apart. He's clearly standing in between them. And so I had a conversation with a police officer while I was there, and I said, not one person in this whole crowd has socks that are pigs wearing cop hats on it. These are the people who are defending the police. So while you're deciding who to give a ticket, which as far as I know, no one got a ticket yesterday, just know that these aren't the people who are kneeling for the flag. I am a cop's wife. I love the police. But my husband didn't take an oath to protect Gretchen Whitmer. He took an oath to protect the Constitution. And that is his job. And I am very sure that the police that were there yesterday, if anyone ever asked them, they would say that the crowd was completely under control, that no one was disrespectful to the police. And that has nothing to do with what the media is saying happened. I haven't found one article about the fact that the sheriff, I think from Minnesota, Sheriff Clark, was there giving a speech telling people to stop, to stand up for their rights.
Well, Jessica, really appreciate the call. And as I say, I think a lot of protesters who are actually being responsible at how they're protesting are getting lumped in with the people that the media can make out to be the nuts. They're basically involved in what we call in the media nut picking, which is they're finding the people who are the most inflammatory. They're making that out to be the majority of these crowds. That is not what I'm perceiving from a lot of people from whom I am receiving emails. So, Jessica, really appreciate the call and the information. Justin in Pennsylvania, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Justin.
I know not to belittle anything that's going on in other states, especially Jessica in Michigan there. Sounds like a lot worse than in PA, but I haven't heard a lot about college students during this whole ordeal, which is interesting to me because most of us were excluded from the stimulus. We're either just out of the age range where our parents even get the $500. We didn't get any money. And we're out of jobs, of course, like 30 million other people. But I'm just curious what you think the situation should be there because – again, most of us have really gotten shortchanged, and we got nothing to do, nowhere to go. And I go to a trade school. How am I supposed to do virtual stuff when all my work is hands-on?
So, you know, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if college students are even eligible for a stimulus check. I believe that college students under the CARES Act are ineligible between 17 and 23 if they're claimed as a dependent on somebody else's federal income taxes. Most college students are still classified as dependents for purposes of federal aid or to continue having medical coverage. That's the big problem. So I'm not sure about your particular story. Are you still claimed as a dependent by members of your family?
I believe I was, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean that would be the issue there. So if you're not claimed as a dependent, then you're eligible for aid. If you're claimed as a dependent, then the government is going to assume you're an actual dependent, meaning that your parents are paying your bills. It's one of the traps that is sort of set in the law is that you sometimes are claimed as a dependent by your parents, and they're not actually supporting you. They just want to keep you going on their health insurance so you don't have to pay for your own health insurance. It's one of the problems with Obamacare, which really should not have allowed people to remain dependent on their parents' health care beyond the age of 18. Right? Once you're an adult, you should be paying for your own health insurance. So people took advantage of that and set up this perverse incentive where you claimed your kid is a dependent for purposes of health insurance, but they're not actually a dependent, and now they can't get a check from the government even though they're independent. So that I think, is what's happening, Justin.
They didn't even get the $500 for me, and I of course, didn't get $1,200. So I'm basically I don't exist, even though I've been paying.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you're stuck in the nether regions of the federal government, which is always an uncomfortable place to be. Justin, I appreciate the call. Will in Colorado, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Will.
and thank you for taking my call. So my question for you was, when you're debating with liberals, or even friends, how do you handle their arguments coming from emotion, your arguments coming from fact, and not go crazy, basically?
Yeah, Will, I wish I were perfect at it. I mean, I feel like I'm fairly good at it, but there are times when I break. And when I break, it's never good, right? It's always a bad look. The key is to remember that is the actual game here, is to get people to essentially lose it. And if you lose it, then they can always make you look flustered and make you look bad. And there's this famous BBC interview that has gone around from last year where somebody just keeps needling me about old tweets. And eventually I'm like, you know what? This is ridiculous. And I just walk off the set. And this thing went highly viral. It was crazy. I love debating, but why would I walk off the set? I let him go at me for like 20 minutes. And then I was like, this is a complete waste of time. And I walked off the set. It was a bad look for me. I shouldn't have done it. I should have just – I agreed to the interview. It was dumb. I should have vetted it first, but I didn't. And so that was a mistake. You know, that sort of stuff does happen. The key is to keep your cool, understanding that literally the entire tactic is to make you lose your cool. Because the facts do not line up with a lot of left-wing positions. And so the goal is to make you look as though you're angry. And then they can say, oh, look, you're mad. Now you're getting mad. It's all teenage bullcrap, but it is successful in the world of media. So, you know, it really is a challenge, and you just have to understand what people are up to, Will. I really appreciate it. The call. We'll be taking more of your calls at 855-236-3228, 855-236-3228 first. It is literally never a bad idea to save money. There's never a bad time to save money. Now would be like the best time in human history to save money. You have to have home insurance by law in most states, but you may be paying too much for home insurance. This is why you should be going and getting the best home insurance policy for the lowest possible price at PolicyGenius.com. You can answer a few quick questions about yourself and your property, and then Policy Genius will compare your policy against options from top insurers to make sure you're getting the right home insurance coverage at the best possible price. If Policy Genius finds you a better rate than what you're currently paying, they will do all the work to get you switched. If you own a car, Policy Genius will compare your home and auto policies across different insurers and even mix and match to find you savings. They've saved their customers an average of $1,127 per year doing just that. If you don't have home insurance or if you're overpaying, fix the problem right now. Be an adult. Insurance is an adult thing to do. And right now, you know, some good adult judgment would be necessary. If you'd like to put a little cash back in your pocket right this moment, see how much you can save by reshopping your home insurance rates at PolicyGenius.com. Again, that is PolicyGenius.com. They do all sorts of insurance, life, home, auto. All those things can be checked out at PolicyGenius.com. Go check them out right now, PolicyGenius.com. Taking more of your calls at 855-236-3228. Jim in Austin, Texas, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Jim.
When we debate those that are on the left, they often end up vilifying their own position, albeit in great ignorance, while we on conservatives can look back on men like Reagan and Milton Friedman and still appreciate them. Why does it often seem that the left is committed to a direction rather than a policy or a position?
I mean, I think that the reason is because for the left, the constant goal is revision of the system. This is why they call themselves progressives, because whatever the system must be torn down. It doesn't matter that we have the biggest government in human history right now in the United States. It doesn't matter that we have been consistently moving in a leftward social direction in the United States. The goal is – here's the thing. Leftism is based on a philosophy, which is that human beings are innately malleable. Right? Human beings aren't – there's no such thing as human nature. Human beings are innately malleable to the extent that people on left claim that men can be women and women can be men, right? That's how malleable we are. We are completely malleable. And that means that all human shortcomings are not a result of human nature. All human shortcomings, all inequalities, all failures are the result of the system. Well, if the system is always to be blamed for faults of human nature and those faults never go away, that means the system has to be constantly revised and constantly changed. And so for the left, because they will never reach their utopian system, because human nature does in fact exist, the goal is to constantly tear down the system that exists in favor of a new, better system controlled by people like them. Because if they control human beings from the top, then they can finally change human nature along the lines of which it should originally have been changed. This is when I've used the phrase on the show, Marxist materialism, this is the idea that economic circumstance dictates how you're going to act. And this is the innate promise of Marxism. The innate promise of Marxism is not that you're going to be more prosperous. It's not that it's going to be incredibly fair. It's that simply by rejiggering the nature of the economy, you've changed the social circumstances surrounding human beings, and human beings will have their heart of stone replaced with a heart of flesh, and suddenly human beings will be better and human beings will be different. Well, that means that when you look around society and you see anything happening that is bad, that is the result of the system. It is not the result of individual responsibility, because individuals were shaped by their environment, so it's the fault of the environment. So all you have to do is constantly be shouting at the system. And so that's why it's about the direction. The direction is always tearing down the system. It's why leftist revolutions innately eat their own, because the person who is promoting one form 1 second ago is now the person who's in power. And the person in power is responsible for the system. And the system will always be bad because there will always be flaws in human nature. And so that person has to be torn down now. It's why Robespierre will lead the French Revolution and then find himself guillotined a couple of years later. It's why Lenin will lead the revolution and then Stalin will basically push him down the stairs. This is the way that all of this works in leftism. It's why you're seeing all the same people who are promoting Martin Luther King's actual policies in 1968 with regard to race. Now those people are declared racist by the newfangled intersectionality advocates. It's why you see people who are very much in favor of a feminist stand in favor of women being castigated as TERFs by people who suggest that women can become men. The revolution always has to eat its own because the revolution is ongoing and never ends. That is why it's all about a direction and not about a specific...
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Orchard Nutrition Center asks, what does it mean to be local?
It's the Little League baseball team. It's a smile and a wave from a neighbor you've known for years, helping out a stranger just because it's the right thing to do.
It's a lot like Orchard Nutrition Center, caring about the people and the community that you call home.
Orchard Nutrition Center, since 1982.
We're all in it together.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hello, I'm Robert Wilkie, Secretary of Veterans Affairs. For generations, veterans have honorably defended our nation, and today they need your help. We're looking for retired physicians, nurses, and other medical professionals to help protect veterans from the coronavirus. Please join us in meeting this crisis. Go to va.gov/joinus or text VA physician or VA nurse to 97211.
Thank you for calling. Currently, we're with other customers.
You know, the way we do business is changing.
Please briefly hold. You are very important to us.
Your customers need to get a hold of you and you with them.
Your estimated wait time is 1 hour and 10 minutes.
Make it easier with Podium, the messaging tool for local businesses. Podium helps communicate with customers more efficiently by making your business line textable, giving customers a more convenient way to connect. Your entire team can prioritize the most urgent messages and have access to a shared inbox so everyone can stay in sync. Podium also helps generate online reviews and attract new customers. It can even help with getting paid remotely. Yes, the way we do business has changed, and Podium can make that transition much easier. See why over 40,000 businesses use Podium. Go to podium.com/news or text the code NEWS to 511-511 and save an average of $500. Text NEWS to 511-511 today.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show, taking your calls at 855-236-3228. Esteban in Kansas, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Esteban.
How do the reactions of this lockdown differ from Democratic states and Republican ones? And do these reactions show which side is more prepared?
So it's weird that this has broken down along political lines. The answer is that moderate Democrats are reacting exactly the same as Republicans. Right, Jared Polis in Colorado, he's in a purple state. He's acting exactly the same as the Republicans. Tim Walz in Minnesota, that is a purple state. He's acting exactly the same as Republicans. Governor Steve Bullock in Montana is acting exactly the same as Republicans. The more moderate the state, the more the Democratic governor is acting exactly like Brian Kemp in Georgia or Greg Abbott in Texas or Ron DeSantis in Florida. The hardcore blue states are locking this thing down. Now, maybe that is due to higher population density in hardcore blue states, which is why they're blue states. Right? Maybe we've got the logic backward. Maybe it is not that Democratic governance is dictating the lockdowns. Maybe it is population density in places like New York or New Jersey. But the problem is that you look at California, which has really not been hard hit by this thing. Right? California has 5 deaths per 100,000 residents, something like that. And they are locking down like New York, even though most areas of California look more like Texas or look more like Florida in terms of population density than they look like New York. And that really does sort of betray a different viewpoint on the world. I won't say a different agenda, but I will say a different viewpoint on the world. And the viewpoint on the world for a lot of Democrats is we can lock down indefinitely because the government will just take over the burden. Because after all, even in normal times, we want the government to take over the burden. And so is there really a cost to locking down longer? And for people like Gavin Newsom, the answer is no. He's been blowing out the debt anyway. He's been exacerbating government expenditures anyway. And Nancy Pelosi says she wants universal basic income for illegal immigrants in the United States. I mean, this is how far the left wants to push in the absence of a crisis. And now the crisis arrives, and it's like, okay, we want all the same things we wanted before. And also, we can save lives by wanting those things and keeping people home. And so I think this is exacerbating divisions between right and left. But as I say, there are a bunch of, quote-unquote, moderate Democrats who are holding closer to Republicans than they are to Democrats. And I believe that the polls that say Americans are interested in lockdowns and continued lockdowns, those are inaccurate because they're being given a binary choice. The choice they're being given in these polls are, do you want a complete and utter lockdown forever? Or do you want to get out there right now and smooch an old person with COVID-19? And it's like, well, given those choices, I'll take the lockdown, I suppose, but those are really bad choices. How about you actually give the actual choice that's on the table, which is a partial removal of the lockdown under responsible circumstances with social distancing and most people wearing masks in closed areas. Right? That's actually what we're talking about here. The fact that people are objecting to this, 80% of the American population is ready for that. The only people who probably are not ready for that are people for whom open spaces and social distancing are not possible, namely people who live directly in New York City. Right? Every place else in the United States, people are probably on board with that. And frankly, I find it kind of annoying that pollsters will not ask the honest question, Esteban.
How do all the policies that came in beforehand, like all the what if this happens, How are they different from state to state?
Well, I mean, some states obviously lock down a lot heavier than others. California locked down super heavy. New York locked down super heavy. New Jersey locked down super heavy. Florida didn't. Florida basically said, if you're in an area that's hard hit, we're going to lock that down. If you're not in an area that's hard hit, we're not going to lock that down. And that is the responsible way to treat this. DeSantis was ripped up and down for not closing down the beaches sooner. There was not widespread COVID-19 at the beaches. There wasn't. Okay, there's not a lot of evidence that this thing spread dramatically at the beaches. Greg Abbott did not shut down his entire state. Brian Kemp did not shut down his entire state. And guess what? The rates of death in those states are substantially lower than they are in places like New York because not all of these places are exactly the same. Esteban, really appreciate the call. Bryna in Arizona, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Bryna.
My question to you is, if the presidential election were to happen now, what do you think the outcome would be?
If the election were held today, I think that Biden would have the upper hand by polling data. I mean, Trump has been slipping in the polls, and he's been slipping pretty consistently across the polls. So, for example, if you look at the Real Clear Politics poll average in the various states, and the polling, I will say the pollsters are focusing more on the battleground states than they did last time, right, because they really screwed up the battleground states. Right now it's showing Trump with a very slim lead in places like North Carolina. It's showing Biden with a lead in Florida, like 47 to 43. It's showing Biden with a 7-point lead in Pennsylvania. It's showing him with a 3-point lead in Wisconsin. Now, the fact that Biden is not pulling away at a time when Trump has been absolutely battered by the media and the worst economic situation in American history, you know, that does demonstrate that Trump's durability remains. If Trump can be disciplined, the fact that Biden is an innately weak candidate, and the fact that Trump's federal response in terms of action has been quite good here, that will pay off for him. Trump's approval ratings are starting to rise according to Gallup again. He's up to about 49%. So this thing ain't over. But if the election were held today, it's difficult to imagine that Trump walks away with a super clear victory. So, again, I think a lot of things are going to change between now and November. I always give Trump a 50% shot. He's the incumbent. But it's, I think, necessary to recognize that the stuff that got you to the major leagues may not allow you to stay in the major leagues if you can't hit the curveball.
Oh, okay.
Well, Brian, I really appreciate the call. All righty. We'll continue to bring you all of the coronavirus updates. Plus, Joe Biden making a mockery of himself and really making a mockery of his old positions when it comes to sexual assault allegations. We'll get to that momentarily. You're listening to the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. An experimental drug gets the green light to be used on hospitalized COVID-19 patients.
In an Oval Office announcement, the president said the FDA granted emergency use of the drug remdesivir, which appears to help some coronavirus patients recover faster.
It's really a very promising situation.
Gilead Sciences CEO Daniel O'Day said the drug maker is ramping up production and making its supply quickly available.
We made a decision to donate about 1.5 million vials of remdesivir.
Remdesivir is the first authorized therapy for COVID-19 patients. Greg Clugston, Washington.
A union representing employees at a South Dakota pork processing plant say it'll partially reopen Monday after shuttering more than 2 weeks ago because of the coronavirus and about hundreds of employees that were infected. Some 250 workers have been asked to report back to the Smithfield Foods plant to staff two departments, ground seasoned pork and night cleanup. Joe Biden emphatically denying a former staffer's allegation of sexual assault, saying it, quote, never happened. Biden's first public staffer, first public comment on the allegation from a former staffer during his Senate days back in the 1990s came during an interview Friday morning on MSNBC. Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany says the White House is glad Biden finally came and responded.
We are pleased that the former vice president has decided to go on the record. It took him less than, 16 hours to follow the advice of the president of the United States and come out and publicly address those claims.
Meanwhile, Biden said he'll ask the National Archives to determine whether there's any record of such a complaint being filed, but he said repeatedly he doesn't believe such a record exists. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says Canada is banning assault-style weapons immediately, citing the mass shootings in the country that back on April 18th that killed 22. This is townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief, it's natural pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
This is Dennis Prager and my friends. They're at it again. The left is doing its best to silence ideas it doesn't like. Hollywood does not want you to see my film, No Safe Spaces, which is why you won't see it on Netflix or Amazon Prime. But now you can watch No Safe Spaces for a limited time at nosafespaces.com. It's time to fight back and protect freedom in America. See No Safe Spaces. It is a great film starring me and Adam Carolla. Go to nosafespaces.com.
A judge strikes down an unequal pay claim by the U.S. women's soccer team.
The U.S. women's soccer team has suffered a partial loss in court. A federal court judge in California has dismissed the team's claim of unequal pay in a lawsuit against the U.S. Soccer Federation. However, the judge has ruled that claims of unequal travel and medical staff can go to trial. Players say they have not been paid equally under their collective bargaining agreement to what the men's national team receives under its labor deal. The women's team filed suit in March 2019, asking for more than $66 million in damages under the Equal Pay Act and Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. I'm Dave Ferry.
Replay reviews could vanish in Major League Baseball in 2020 as part of a deal that covers how umpires would be paid for a season shortened or wiped out by the coronavirus pandemic. Be sure to check out more breaking news and read the best analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Two high-profile participants in the college admission scandal won't go to jail immediately.
A judge ruled they can delay going to prison until this summer because of the coronavirus pandemic. Requests for home confinement instead of prison time for Michelle Janovs, an heir to the Hot Pockets fortune, and Douglas Hodge, former chief executive of a top investment company, were denied. They don't have to report to prison until at least June 30th. Lawyers for the two had argued it's too dangerous to send them to prison in the middle of a pandemic. John Scott reporting.
Texas-based Bluebell Creamery has agreed to pay more than $19 million in fines and forfeiture as part of a plea agreement on two misdemeanor counts for shipping contaminated ice cream connected to a 2015 listeria outbreak that left three people dead. Former CEO Paul Cruz charged with seven felonies for allegedly concealing information. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
In these uncertain times, do you need a much-needed break from cooking? If so, let Mary's Pizza Shack take care of you with their to-go delivery, curbside pickup. Mary's is offering to-go beer and wine at a special discounted rate. And as always, they have their famous pizza, pasta, soups, and salads. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Friday and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. From Mary's family to yours, please be safe.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm going to let you get through this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, we'll be talking to some folks who are filing a lawsuit against Gavin Newsom because Gavin Newsom keeps threatening to shut everything down in the state despite no data to back it. We'll also be talking to Annie McCarthy over at National Review. We're going to be discussing new developments in the Michael Flynn case. We have shocking revelations from the FBI. And we will get to the shutdown orders and whether people will stop complying and Nancy Pelosi pushing her usual brand of nonsense. But first, we must talk about Joe Biden. So, imagine that you are one of the other Democrats who is in that race for president. And imagine that you lost to this old codger. Imagine that you spent all of your resources and you went out and you ran and Joe Biden just sat there and basically was not alive. And then one by one, you drop by the wayside because this guy had really high name recognition and he had some connections and the media kind of liked him. And basically he was dead and you were saying crazy things. So you dropped out one by one. And now your nominee is a senile old man who was perceived as a nice guy, but now has been hit with a fairly credible sexual assault allegation. When I say fairly credible, I mean I have serious questions about it, but by the standards of the media, he definitely did it, right? I mean, the standards of the media are there was an allegation, and that means it's credible. And not only that, she told people about the allegation at the Times. That means it's super-duper credible. And imagine that your response to this, if you're Joe Biden, is terrible. So you're one of these other candidates, and you're sitting there going, wait, I lost to this? You know, over the last 24 hours, Joe Biden actually said in a TV interview that he is a placeholder for all the other candidates. He literally said, I am a transition candidate. I'm a transition president. I want to elevate people like Mayor Pete. Mayor Pete's sitting there like, you know what you could have done to elevate me? Drop out and endorse me. You could have done that earlier. So instead, we got a dead person basically running on the platform that he's going to abdicate responsibility for his entire presidency within the first 5 minutes of his presidency. And then he gets hit with a sexual assault allegation. And the problem for Joe Biden is that he's been holding a standard about sexual assault that is completely untenable. That standard is, if you are accused, you are guilty. The standard is, we must believe all women. Now, that was always idiotic. I wouldn't believe all men. I wouldn't believe all children. People lie. People have different interpretations of same events. If you've ever seen the movie Rashomon, you can see, like, various perspectives on one circumstance. This happens routinely in life. But according to the media, and according to Democrats, believe all women, which became the slogan when it was all about Donald Trump. When it's a Democrat, then it's not believe all women anymore. Then it's like, well, you know, but we like Joe Biden. We like Joe Biden. And so it's not believe all women anymore. Other aspects of the Democratic standard that were always idiotic and that have manifested themselves. If somebody falsely accuses you of rape and you're a man, you are supposed to immediately respond by saying, she should tell her truth. She should tell her truth. I may not have done it, but she should be heard and she should tell her truth. Okay, this is the height of absurdity. You know what I'm going to say if somebody ever accuses me of sexual assault? This person is a damned liar, and I don't know what the hell is going on. But for falsely accusing somebody of sexual assault, you should burn in hell. Either you're mentally ill or you're lying. Those are the only two possibilities. If I didn't do this and you're claiming I did this. And that's a perfectly appropriate response. But according to modern standards, the response is supposed to be, you falsely accused me of sexual assault. And I go, I respect your story. I respect it. In no other area of life would you do this. If somebody said, I saw last night you murdered your wife and you fed her to a tiger, would you be like, I respect your story and your story has a right to be heard. And I just respect the hell out of you. Or would you be like, are you a crazy person? What are you talking about? You should not accuse people. So Joe Biden holds the latter standard, right, which is that we are supposed to treat all allegations with respect, no matter how outlandish. And even if it targets you, you, the person who has been targeted by a false allegation, you're supposed to never get angry. We heard about Brett Kavanaugh. You're never supposed to get upset. You're supposed to be like, well, sure, you just accused me of participating in a chain gang rape. But, yeah, your story needs to be told. Okay, so all of this finally comes to a head this week. This woman named Tara Reid, a month ago, accused Joe Biden of, in 1993, basically pressing her up against a wall and then putting his fingers in her. That was the actual accusation. That is a sexual assault. That is not sexual misconduct. That is a full-on sexual assault. And she was ignored. She hasn't appeared on any national news. She hasn't appeared once on MSNBC or CNN or any of these other places that featured Stormy Daniels as heroine of the Republic for a solid 2 years. She's appeared nowhere. The first place she is set to appear is Chris Wallace on Fox. She's been asked on none of these networks. Ben Smith at the New York Times has a long and excellent piece about the fact that the media have not asked Tara Reid to appear on television, despite the fact that her allegation is at least more credible than Christine Blasey Ford's allegation against Brett Kavanaugh. And then Biden isn't asked about it for like weeks on end. Biden is not asked about it by a single mainstream member of the media. Instead, everybody else is asked about it. So you get Stacey Abrams. And Stacey Abrams, who's standing outside Joe Biden's house with a boombox right now, asking him, please, please pick me for vice president. She's asked about it. She's like, I absolve, as a black woman, I absolve Joe Biden. And then you get Kirsten Gillibrand. As a woman, I absolve Joe Biden. And then you get Amy Klobuchar. As a woman, I absolve Joe Biden. I'm not sure what gives them the special power to absolve Joe Biden, but Joe Biden is not really asked the question. Okay, after weeks of this, there are new revelations that Tara Reid told even more people back in the 90s that this thing happened. And suddenly, people start saying, well, Joe Biden should probably at least answer it. He put out a statement saying he didn't do it, but he should probably answer this. So finally, he appears on Morning Joe. Now, Morning Joe is a biased television program. Let us not pretend that this is not that this is some sort of objective piece of media. It is not. And Morning Joe, this morning, suggested that the media should not apply the Kavanaugh standard to Joe Biden, that the Kavanaugh standard for Joe Biden should not be applied. So here is Morning Joe this morning making that claim.
Let's talk about the criticism by some, particularly on the right, that the media has not applied the same standard to this allegation against Biden as it did the allegations against Judge Brett Kavanaugh when he was undergoing his confirmation process. We think that's a good thing. The media should not apply what seemed to be a Kavanaugh standard to Joe Biden. The media should not apply the same standard most applied to Judge Kavanaugh to Donald Trump. The media should not apply a Kavanaugh standard to any public figure.
Okay, well, I'm so glad Mika is saying that now. I'm wondering where all the outrage was when everybody applied the Kavanaugh standard to Kavanaugh. So, or to Donald Trump, by the way. I'm really looking forward to that. Okay, so Mika at least has the courage of her convictions here. She then goes to Biden and she says, you know, Joe, you're the one who applied the Kavanaugh standard. So weird. Are all women to be believed except if they are accusing you? And Biden has no good answer to this because, of course, here's the thing. I don't actually believe Tara Reid's story based on the evidence that's been presented. There are serious holes in her story. I also don't think that Joe Biden is wrong to say I didn't do it. But I think that Joe Biden's standard was always wrong, and now he's just being exposed as a duplicitous jackass. So here's Mika Brzezinski exposing Joe Biden as a duplicitous jackass.
Stacey Abrams said during the Kavanaugh hearings, I believe women. I believe survivors of assault should be supported and their voices heard. Kirsten Gillibrand tweeted, do we believe women? Do we give them the opportunity to tell their story? We must be a country that says yes every time. They now both support you. Nancy Pelosi falls into this category too, as well as many other leaders in the Democratic Party. Are women to be believed? Are women to be believed unless it pertains to you?
And Joe Biden sits there like, because he has no good answer. Because, of course, the standard was always idiotic. Democrats cannot be held to their own standard because their standard is garbage. Their standard makes no sense. Their standard is stupid. And so finally, Joe Biden in this interview says it never happened. He says, no, he says, we should definitely respect her story, but it never happened. Again, I'm going to go back to my original point on this. Why should we respect her story if it never happened? If someone accuses you of forcibly inserting yourself into them, why should you respect that person if they are lying about it or not telling the truth about it and are trying to ruin your life? Why? Even if they're misremembering, why should that story be treated with any level of respect? Again, if anybody ever came out and made that allegation against me, I wouldn't feign respect for the allegation. Are you absolutely kidding me? No human being who is sane would, but we now live in this idiotic world where if somebody makes an accusation based on the identity of the accuser, we're supposed to grant an automatic level of credibility we would not grant to anybody else. So here is Joe Biden saying it never happened.
The former Senate aide accuses you of sexual assault. And please, to our viewers, please excuse the graphic nature of this, but I want to make sure that there is no question as to what we're talking about. She says in 1993, Mr. Vice President, that you pinned her against the wall and reached under her clothing and penetrated her with your fingers. Would you please go on the record with the American people? Did you sexually assault Tara Reid?
No, it is not true. I'm saying unequivocally, it never, never happened. And it didn't. It never happened.
Do you remember her? Do you remember any types of complaints that she might have made?
I don't remember any type of complaint she may have made. It was 27 years ago. And I don't remember, nor does anyone else that I'm aware of. And the fact is that I don't remember. I don't remember any complaint ever having been made.
Have you or your campaign, have you reached out to her?
No, I have not reached out to her. It's 27 years ago.
Okay, so here's the question. She says there are documents over the University of Delaware in his records that might show her name. And he's asked about these documents. And he's like, nah, not going to release those documents. Why would I release those documents? They might be embarrassing to me. This is not a good look, Joe Biden. I'm old enough to remember when everybody thought Donald Trump should release his tax records, including yours truly. I also think you should release your papers. But here is Joe Biden being like, no.
There are no personnel documents. You can't do that. You wouldn't, for example, if you worked with me or I worked for you and you had my income tax returns, you had my whatever. They're private documents. They're not they don't get put out in the public. So they're not part of the public record that in fact is that any senator or vice president or president has in their documents.
Then why'd you go to the University of Delaware, Joe? Like, seriously, you know, it's a thing I don't do? Hand my emails to the University of Delaware. I want it to be public. I don't hand it away to a public university. What are you talking about? What are you, like, what? Okay, so here's Captain Transparency over here being like, no. And then he puts out a statement. And his statement is, you know what? We don't actually need to release these documents. If there's records of these sorts of allegations being made, that'd be over at the National Archives. And the National Archives is like, nope, we don't have those kinds of records. Also, Tara Reid, she says she talks to people in the campaign office, but that doesn't mean that she necessarily filed absolute complaint documentation, right? So the fact that Biden won't even allow like a perusal of his papers is pretty astonishing. But he's Captain Honesty and Captain Transparency. Again, if you're another Democrat in this race, you're thinking, my God, what in the actual hell? What in the actual living hell? Because by the way, if the media had done their job and actually talked to people like Tara Reid, by the way, I do have a question about Tara Reid. Seriously, the question I have about Tara Reid. This makes me question her account, honestly. One of the things about it is the timing. So she's been claiming for years that he made her feel uncomfortable, but she never claimed that he had done something like this. She waited until he was the nominee, and then she said it. So why didn't she say this, like, in the primaries, when it actually would have mattered in the primaries? In just a second, we'll get to the media. And the media are now forced to a choice that they do not want to make. The choice is between Joe Biden's candidacy and letting their own ridiculous standards die. So they have to choose between upholding their own their own standards, which are absolutely not upholdable, and Joe Biden. Those are their choices now. Either Biden goes under the bus or they have to acknowledge that they were a bunch of liars about Brett Kavanaugh. Those are the only two choices. There is no other choice. We'll get to that in just a second. First, let's talk about a fantastic, fantastic Mother's Day gift. I'm talking about Legacy Box. This is one of the most important gifts you can ever get a parent. This is the gift of ensuring that all of those memories that you have in the garage, on the film reels, on the VHS tapes, on the DVDs, that those are digitized and made available to your parents. Legacy Box, a super simple mail-in service to have all your home movies and pictures digitally preserved on thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud. Don't let the priceless family memories disappear. That is what happens. Instead, take all that stuff, dump it in a box from Legacy Box. They label all of it. They digitize all of it. They send it all back to you. They keep you up to date with regular email updates throughout the digitizing process. I've been doing it with my own parents. It is fantastic. I cannot wait to relive the glory days with Mom and Dad. Win the favorite kid award this Mother's Day. Give Mom a present she will not forget for a limited time. Legacy Box is running a 50% off Mother's Day special. Order that Legacy Box today to take advantage of this amazing offer. It's one of the best discounts they have ever ordered. Legacy Box is perfect for you or for someone you love. Go to legacybox.com/Ben. Save 50% while supplies last. Again, that is legacybox.com/Ben. Save 50% while supplies last. Okay, so finally, the media, forced to that choice? Forced to that choice? Well, I think they're going to stick with their own self-preservation. So here's Dana Bash on CNN saying this isn't going to quiet the critics.
You know, the interview was very direct, but it was a home team interview, and hopefully others will have a chance to also ask questions. Because if he wants to end this, and if he wants to continue to stay on the plane of never happened, I'm here to answer questions. I'm not going to question her motives, but have at it. It's got to continue.
So again, the media would rather throw Joe Biden under the bus than take the hit. So this will be amusing to watch. Very, very amusing to watch. And Joe Biden, he doesn't deserve a sexual allegation against him. He does deserve to have his standards held up to scrutiny. And that is definitely something that man deserves. Already coming up, we're going to be joined by folks who are filing a lawsuit against Gavin Newsom over shutting down the entire state. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Thank you for calling. Currently, we're with other customers.
You know, the way we do business is changing.
Please briefly hold. You are very important to us.
Your customers need to get a hold of you and you with them.
Your estimated wait time is 1 hour and 10 minutes.
Make it easier with Podium, the messaging tool for local businesses. Podium helps communicate with customers more efficiently by making your business line textable, giving customers a more convenient way to connect. Your entire team can prioritize the most urgent messages and have access to a shared inbox so everyone can stay in sync. Podium also helps generate online reviews and attract new customers. It can even help with getting paid remotely. Yes, the way we do business has changed, and Podium can make that transition much easier. See why over 40,000 businesses use Podium. Go to podium.com/news or text the code NEWS to 511-511 and save an average of $500. Text NEWS to 511-511 today.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources,
at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council. So.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us online is Harmeet Dhillon, nationally recognized lawyer and founder of the Center for American Liberty, committed to defending the civil rights of all Americans. She is national co-chair of Women for Trump. She also clerked for a federal appeals court in Baltimore, Maryland. She is now representing constituents in the Orange County against Newsom, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, and his lockdown decrees. Harmeet, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben. Happy to be here.
So why don't you explain the basis for the lawsuit? What exactly has our illustrious governor, Gavin Newsom, the Ken doll done this time? And what is the legal basis for the lawsuit?
Sure. So the lawsuit that we filed this morning is an extraordinary writ in the Orange County Superior Court because yesterday at around noon, the governor saw fit to decree that the beaches in Orange County and only Orange County would be closed with no end date, we believe, based on his comments, to punish Orange County residents for being too close together on the beach, in his view, I believe, based on a media report, which was inaccurate. So our lawsuit is on behalf of three citizens of Orange County who also happen to be city council members elected to various Orange County city councils who have explained the importance of accessing the beach. Our lawsuit is based on the fact that the California Constitution guarantees California residents the right to access our waterways and our beaches, which is obviously being blocked by the governor. And then there are numerous constitutional claims as well involving the right to assemble, the right to travel, equal protection, due process, and other claims. So that's really the basis. It's a constitutionally based claim.
So, Harmeet, is it the position of you and your clients that if Newsom had just continued with his original stated order, which was to shut down all state beaches and all state parks, he'd be on decent footing, but it's just that he's singling out Orange County, and thus he is basically engaging in a selective shutdown based on no data at all?
Well, no. So let me say that that is just one of the claims of what you just described. But in fact, the statewide shutdown of all the beaches and all the parks likely would have been challenged as well, for the same reason that to justify blocking access to all of our state property and our constitutional right to enjoy our beaches, he'd have to have a very good ongoing reason. And on May 1st, which is 2 months after this pandemic started, the evidence to support that is slim to none. There's been no process. There's been no consideration or weighing of the constitutional rights involved. And it's not just Orange County that's being affected, but other counties are imposing their own ridiculous decrees. San Mateo County is restricting people's travel to 5 miles from their home, for example. So there's only so many lawsuits I can file every day, Ben, but that is today's because it is particularly offensive, and Orange County residents approached me to sue.
So you pointed out that when it comes to the Orange County beaches, the media completely miscovered this. I agree. I mean, you saw the aerial shots, and what you saw is people who actually were socially distancing out in the open air, which is about as safe as you can get. Honestly, what's your perspective on what actually went down in Orange County versus the media coverage?
Having spoken to many mayors and city council members in Orange County, Ben, I can tell you that they took great efforts, including law enforcement, including using drone patrols to enforce the social distancing norms that I think everybody in California has been doing their best to obey. And so I think really misleading media report showed a picture from the ground that it looks like a lot of people. But in fact, looking at the numbers of people that is mentioned in an affidavit in our lawsuit, it's approximately one quarter the number of people who are on the beach in a busy day in July. So there's data on our side to support that people are social distancing and only being together for the most part in family groups. When you look at that aerial picture, you see that, in fact, people are being responsible and socially distancing. So the governor's paternalistic, frankly, irrational lashing out at them, I think, has not to do with the people being on the beach. It has to do with the fact that the Orange County Board of Supervisors 2 days earlier had decided to move forward with opening up the county. And this is his way of punishing Orange County. To the south, San Diego County has no such restrictions and is being allowed to operate. And so the governor, I think, saw a backlash for a statewide effort and decided to go for punishing a county that is not that supportive of him politically. So this is really totally inappropriate bullying and misuse of his power. And in fact, there is precedent, as our lawsuit cites, for a superior court judge to issue a writ against a governor exceeding his authority. It happened with Governor Schwarzenegger, and it has happened with other governors before that. So this is well within the precedent.
Harmy Tillon, nationally recognized lawyer, founder of the Center for American Liberty, obviously rooting hard for your lawsuit to be successful, because it's hard to imagine the state continuing under this sort of arbitrary rule from the governor, who can simply declare businesses essential and non-essential as he sees fit without any relation to data. Really appreciate your time, and thanks for what you're doing.
Thank you, Ben.
All right, coming up, we're going to be joined by Andy McCarthy from National Review. He's going to be informing us about all the details surrounding Michael Flynn. Because remember Michael Flynn, that former national security advisor? Now it turns out looks kind of like the FBI was trying to railroad him so that they could turn him on Trump. Andy has all the details. We'll be joined by Andrew McCarthy momentarily. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This ad is not from Hodder FHA and was not approved by Hodder or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Premie is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell, branch manager. NMLS number 1067640. PRMI NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for an additional source of income, this is the answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your mortgage payment. Another benefit, extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, but when you call Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage, Rich can counsel you to see if this is a fit for you. If it fits, then life just got easier for you. You see, Rich Pinnell and Primary Residential Mortgage specialize in reverse mortgages. Rich's experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call Primary Residential Mortgage. They're happy to help. 530-722-4579 or go to richforreverses.com. That's rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
For over 45 years, Clegg's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clegg's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clegg's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clegg's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service dish network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clegg's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clegg's.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only 4 AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
800-841-0908.
Migraines can attack anytime, anywhere. Now there's a new kind of pill you can take anytime, anywhere to treat them. Introducing Ubrelvy or Ubrogepant. Ubrelvy can provide relief from migraine pain and debilitating symptoms without worrying where you are or if it's too late. People took Ubrelvy within 4 hours of a migraine attack. One dose can quickly stop a migraine in its tracks within 2 hours, and many had pain relief in just 1 hour.
Ubrelvy treats migraine attacks in adults and is not for migraine prevention. It is available by prescription only. Do not take Ubrelvy with strong CYP3A4 inhibitors. Tell your healthcare provider about all the medicines you take. Few people had side effects. The most common were nausea, 2-4%, and tiredness, 2-3%.
While normal routines have shifted, the need for migraine treatment remains the same. Contact your healthcare provider to see if Ubrelvy is right for you. Ubrelvy, the anytime, anywhere migraine medicine. Learn about support and resources at Ubrelvy.com or call 844-4-U-B-R-E-L-V-Y. Sponsored by Allergan. Allergan.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Andy McCarthy, Senior Fellow at National Review Institute, National Review Contributing Editor and Author of Ball of Collusion, The Plot to Rig an Election and Destroy a Presidency. He's got some new material now. Andy, thanks so much for joining the show. Good to talk to you.
Ben, it's my pleasure.
So why don't you explain to folks who haven't been following the Michael Flynn saga, because it got pretty complicated, why exactly Michael Flynn ended up in jail, what the entire story here was, because from the media perspective, this basically all got tied up with the fact that Michael Flynn had weird associations. He was hanging out with the folks at Russia Today. He had some weird dealings with the country of Turkey. What did any of that have to do? It was sort of an attack on his character that turned into he's going to jail. How did all of this line up?
You know, Ben, I've been struggling because, as you point out, it's such a complicated story with what's the simplest way to explain this to people. And I think what it is that you have to look at this as Flynn is not the objective here. He is an obstacle to what the FBI was trying to accomplish, which was to continue the Trump-Russia investigation that began under the Obama administration while Trump was still president and in a position to shut down any kind of investigation. And I think, especially if you think about all the novice people that Trump had on his staff. I'm not trying to take a shot at them. I'm just saying he didn't have a wealth of national security and foreign policy experienced people. The difference was Flynn. Flynn was a highly experienced intelligence official. He had run the Defense Intelligence Agency. He knew how the game was played. He knew how the FBI and the intelligence agencies interacted with each other. He knew where the secrets were. He knew how information gets manipulated. It would have been very hard to sustain the Trump-Russia investigation with Flynn as a hands-on national security advisor. And I think they decided they needed either to marginalize him in the same way Jeff Sessions was marginalized so that he was frozen out of Russia. And that was highly unlikely with a national security advisor, or they had to come up with a way to take him out. But I don't think they took him out because they held a grudge against him, even though there were plenty of them didn't like him. I think as a practical reality, as a matter of necessity, if you wanted to sustain this investigation, he had to go.
So the timeline here goes something like Flynn is named incoming national security advisor. He has conversations with Sergei Kislyak, the Russian ambassador, and then he is asked about this by other people, including Mike Pence and the FBI, and he lies. He says to the FBI, I didn't have those conversations. Now, there's nothing illegal about him actually having had those conversations. My understanding is that he was being told by the FBI that he might have been in violation of the Logan Act, and so basically they threatened him with a law that he had not broken in order to incentivize him to lie. Am I getting this correct?
Well, I think that's essentially correct. I mean, I've never been completely convinced that Flynn lied to Pence. I think that's their story, and they have to stick with it at this point. Flynn publicly said that he didn't discuss sanctions with Kislyak. Now, I don't know if he put it that way because that was the way they wanted to tell the story, or if he put it that way because there was a garble between we didn't discuss anything of consequence about the sanctions versus the sanctions were never uttered or discussed. But one way or the other, that was Flynn's story. And he apparently communicated that to Pence. Now, I don't know if there was a garble in that communication. I think Pence's latest position is that he doesn't think Flynn intentionally misled him or lied to him, that there was some confusion. And I've always supposed, I know this is heresy to say this, Ben, but can you imagine a situation where a politician just might support a story that was a little bit off because politically that was better than admitting that there had been a conversation about sanctions at a moment in time when the media and Democrats were trying to draw and quarter anyone who was anywhere near Russian collusion? I think they were trying to contain the damage one way or the other. But this sanctions business did create an enormous problem for Flynn, and it gave the FBI and the holdovers from the Obama administration at the Justice Department a kind of a ability or an inside track to go at Flynn with the notion that, you know, he had violated the Logan Act, which is a preposterous, unconstitutional provision that is so antiquated and obsolete the Justice Department hasn't even tried to use it since 1852, and they've never successfully prosecuted anyone for it. So the thought that the first case was going to be against the incoming national security advisor is kind of absurd. But Flynn's not a lawyer. He didn't know that. And as you and I both know, and we are lawyers, there was a lot of people who were acting like this was a serious issue at the time. The Times was writing about it. The Washington Post was writing about it. They were all talking about the all-important Logan Act. And it was something that could be used to ratchet up pressure on Flynn in conjunction with the fact that there was this misstatement out there about whether sanctions had been discussed.
So the FBI, we now see from their notes a couple of things. One is that they were considering dropping the case against Flynn, and then they somehow revivified the case against Flynn for unspecified reasons. And two, we see in the FBI notes that people were basically saying, what's our goal here? Is our goal to get him to tell the truth and then get him fired, or is our goal here to get him to lie, in which case we can prosecute him? So there, if you can explain those two sort of revelations and why they matter, I think that would be useful.
Yeah, I think that what happened, if you look at the emails and the text messages in the last bunch of documents that came out, the 11 documents that came out on 11 pages of documents that came out on Thursday, I think with the emails and the emails, by the way, are on the weekend between when Trump was inaugurated on January 20th and when they finally decided to interview Flynn on January 24th. And what's going on is they are spinning with each other alternative scenarios to try to figure out a plan to neutralize Flynn. They come up with a bunch of different proposals. They say, you know, maybe we can give him a defensive briefing, which is where you tell people that, you know, you may have an infiltration problem in an espionage sense. But maybe we use the defensive briefing as a pretext to then grill him as if it were a criminal investigation. Maybe we should just give him a few details and then see what he does with that. Like, does he run off and, you know, spill the beans to other people? They float out all these scenarios, but the bottom line they come to is there's no way that because Flynn is now the national security advisor, we're going to have to tell him about at least some aspects of the Trump-Russia investigation. There's no way we're going to be able to keep that from him. And the other problem we have is if we tell the White House that there's recordings of Flynn actually talking to Kislyak about the sanctions, they may order us not to speak to Flynn, in which case we will blow our only chance to neutralize him. So I think after a couple of days of kicking around a bunch of different alternative, impractical scenarios, they finally decided the only way we can do this is to go renegade, which was don't go through protocol, don't tell the attorney general, who would then have to tell the White House counsel that they wanted to interview Flynn. And just orchestrate a situation where they would show up two agents would show up. Comey, who was the director at the time, authorized this. McCabe would put Flynn at ease by trying to suggest to him that he didn't really have a problem and there was no reason to get counsel and there was no reason to get the White House counsel or the chief of staff involved. You know, let's just us guys have a little chat about this and it'll be fine. And the idea was if they could get Flynn at ease and have this sort of ambush interview with him, they could pepper him with questions, suggest to him that he had a legal problem, whether it was the Logan Act or whatever. And, you know, the fact that the public version he had given about the Kislyak conversation didn't square with the recording they had. And the other important thing here, Ben, is they decided not to play the recording for him. In a normal investigation, if you're just trying to advance the investigation and search for the truth, what you do with a witness is you play the recording for him to refresh his recollection and go through it line by line. What did this mean? What did that mean? That advances your understanding of what actually happened. That's not what they were trying to do. They were trying to catch him in a lie. So unlike the way they would treat other witnesses, they decided not to share the evidence with him and then pepper him with questions about conversations that he had had a month ago. And inevitably, he would say things that were inaccurate because none of us has a tape recorder in our heads.
So, Andy, one of the things some people have been suggesting is that this is basically normal FBI protocol, that the FBI does this with people you never hear about. You're only hearing about it because it's Flynn. But when they drag in criminal suspects all the time, very often they are trying to, quote unquote, catch them in a lie or to expose a lie they already know exists and get the person to admit the lie so they can then attempt to flip them against other people. When people complain that the FBI was threatening Flynn supposedly with the prosecution of his son, people say, okay, well, maybe that's not great, but that's what the FBI does regularly. So do we file this one away in the FBI just does pretty terrible things regularly, or was this an actual outlier?
Yeah, this is an outlier for a variety of reasons. I mean, for one thing, you don't do a perjury trap in order to just do a perjury trap. You know, you might do a perjury trap, as you're saying, as you've just described it, you might do it with, say, a mafia guy. And, you know, you ask them about something and you're going in a conversation like that, you're going with a sort of 50-50 proposition. If by chance he tells us the truth, then we have intelligence and evidence that we didn't have before, which advances our investigation. If he lies to us, then we can squeeze him because now we have something to prosecute him with and we can squeeze him to give us the information he's been holding back on. That's not what happened with Flynn. They did a perjury trap on Flynn for no other reason than to get him to lie. It wasn't to advance their understanding of anything. They had the tape. It didn't help them in any way. They were just trying to get him in a compromised position. So that is in itself an outlier. And then throw in the fact that he was the national security advisor for the president of the United States. There's a standard procedure for when the FBI wants to interview someone on the White House staff that they are obligated to honor and that they intentionally went rogue on because they knew if they asked the channels they were supposed to ask to have this interview with Flynn, they would have been told no. And if you don't ask because you think you're going to be told no, then you're in the wrong. You're not doing something that's standard procedure.
So, Andy, is this just a result of a team that was firmly convinced that President Trump was in bed with the Russians and they're willing to basically bend any rule in order to get Trump? Is that basically the short story here?
I don't know that there's a single answer to that, Ben. I do think that there are some people in the FBI and the Obama administration who probably, even though there was no solid evidence of this, really did think that there was some kind of a Trump-Russia connection. But I think they mainly looked at this investigation as something that they could use both to hamstring Trump's governance in the sense that it would make it harder for him to reverse Obama policies. It would be harder for him to govern in general. And the FBI hoped that if they could string out the investigation long enough, they just thought Trump was a bad guy. And eventually they would find something that they could use to impeach him or eventually, you know, prosecute him. But, you know, I think there's a variety of answers for that, and it depends on which player you're talking about.
So final question for you, Andy. There's been sort of the rumor floating out there that President Trump is now going to pardon Flynn. There's been that suggestion by Trump himself on Twitter over the period of the last couple of years. Do you think, number one, it's a good idea for Trump to pardon Flynn? Number two, do you think Trump will actually do it?
I don't think it'll ever come to that. And I don't think at this point, Ben, I don't think Flynn wants to be pardoned. I think as a last resort, he'd take a pardon. But at the moment, he's got a motion to vacate his plea. And his lawyer is trying to sort of inflate that into a motion to get the judge to throw the case out on the basis of outrageous government misconduct. I don't think she's going to accomplish the latter objective because it's really not the legal remedy. But I do think there's a very good chance that Flynn will get his plea back. The judge almost offered it back to him a couple of years ago. And now the record is even worse. So I think what may happen here is the judge may vacate the plea, which brings us back to square one. But that puts the ball in the Justice Department's court to say, do you really want to try this case with all the ugliness we now see and all the things that will come out in the trial? And I suspect they'll say at this point, there's no reason to go forward. And Flynn would be able to use that as a vindication. Now, I don't, that's my assessment of what would happen if I were a betting man, but I've been, you know, wrong on those kind of things before.
Well, Andy McCarthy, senior fellow at National Review Institute and our contributing editor, author of Ball of Collusion, The Plot to Rig an Election, Destroy a Presidency. Andy, really appreciate the clarity and the time, sir.
Thanks.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the Breakfast Combo Family Meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the Chicken Fried Steak Family Meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
So what's scorecard scribblings all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give them to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
Get us safe at the time when lots of people are stealing other people's credit card information. You're doing all of your shopping online. You're certainly spending an enormous amount of time using the Internet. Why would you not protect your Internet activity the same way you'd protect any other asset? Go to expressvpn.com/Ben today. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. Already coming up, we're going to get to Nancy Pelosi, who says it's time to spend, you know, a few more billion dollars. This time, we definitely need to pay illegal immigrants who are unemployed. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Thank you for calling. Currently, we're with other customers.
You know, the way we do business is changing.
Please briefly hold. You are very important to us.
Your customers need to get a hold of you and you with them.
Your estimated wait time is 1 hour and 10 minutes.
Make it easier with Podium, the messaging tool for local businesses. Podium helps communicate with customers more efficiently by making your business line textable, giving customers a more convenient way to connect. Your entire team can prioritize the most urgent messages and have access to a shared inbox so everyone can stay in sync. Podium also helps generate online reviews and attract new customers. It can even help with getting paid remotely. Yes, the way we do business has changed, and Podium can make that transition much easier. See why over 40,000 businesses use Podium. Go to podium.com/news or text the code NEWS to 511-511 and save an average of $500. Text NEWS to 511-511 today.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in,
Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So as we've been noting with regard to these nationwide lockdowns, states locking down in fairly ridiculous fashion, one of the things that is worth noting here is just the shift in tone from Democrats. It was, we have to follow the data and we have to follow the science. And now it's, we can't talk about the data and we can't talk about the science. We are just going to talk about how much money we'd like to spend. And so you have Nancy Pelosi suggesting, you know what, in this time, why not pay illegal immigrants who are unemployed? The answer, of course, is because they are illegal immigrants. Because they're not here in the country legally. They shouldn't be holding jobs that Americans hold anyway. The hell are you talking about? Here's Nancy Pelosi saying, well, as long as we've opened the cabinet with all the cash in it, we may as well just, you know, take all of it out and spend it. She's making it rain like a strip club here, Nancy Pelosi.
If we recognize that everybody in our country is part of our community and that helping to grow the economy, most of what we're doing is to meet the needs of people, but it's all stimulus. So we shouldn't cut the stimulus off that. I myself cannot understand why the tax number is not the basis for how some of this money is distributed, and so we'll be making that case as well.
Okay, so she's now making the case that we ought to be spending money on that. Also, Democrats are making the case, I'm not kidding you, that they want to maintain the next round of spending from the government does not include any sort of protection from liability for vaccine makers or for employers. So if you say to your employees, guys, you know what, like, it's time to come back to work, and then your employee sues you, then the Democrats want to make sure your employee can continue to sue you, which is a great way to get people back to work, obviously. The best way to get people back to work is to ensure that lawyers can continue to make their money. The only essential workers are lawyers, apparently. Meanwhile, there are reports that the coronavirus pandemic could last 2 years, according to one report. The Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota says that people may actually be at their most infectious before the symptoms appear, and the coronavirus pandemic is likely to continue in waves that could last beyond 2022. So raise your hand if you think that we can remain locked down until 2022. Anybody? Bueller? Bueller? And yet this is the actual case that Democrats keep making. Oh, we'll just lock down until there's a vaccine, guys. We'll just lock down until the curve is not only flattened, it doesn't exist anymore. We won't worry about the fact that originally this whole lockdown thing was designed to prevent the system from being overrun. You know, let's just keep locking down. And what the hell? Why not? We're enjoying our time at home, aren't we? 2 years. How does 2 years sound to you? That sound like a good deal to you? Meanwhile, the national debt could reach $30 trillion by the end of September. Spending this year is going to bring the national debt to somewhere between $28 and $30 trillion. Now, we may be better situated than other countries to still raise bond debt. The people are going to buy the American economy because we are still the most powerful. How long do you think that's going to last when you actually have to raise the taxes in order to pay off the debt? How long do you think that's going to last when the Democrats take control and then issue a bunch of regulations and allow liability against all businesses? You think this is all going to work out well? The notion that there are no countervailing costs to a massive nationwide lockdown, it's just absurdity at the highest level. And here's the bottom line. In the end, and you're already starting to see in California, I was driving yesterday with my kids to a drive-through Baskin-Robbins. I know, quite evil. And I would say that the traffic was about 25% of normal, 30% of normal, and gradually increasing. You're starting to see this. People are out on the roads. People are not going to stay home. People move to California for the weather, and they ain't staying in their houses in this weather. It just is not a thing that is going to happen. Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana, he says, yeah, people are just going to stop complying here.
And why we had to shut things down. But we can't sustain this. Number one, the economy will collapse. And number two, at least the people in my state are just going to stop complying. My governor has said he's not going to make a decision until May 15th. I respect that, but he hasn't been able to completely convince the people of Louisiana. Many of my people are opening up.
And that is the reality. What's going to happen is there's going to be a bottom-up reopening here. People are just going to start going back to work. And then after a while, the governors are going to recognize that they can't keep people at home forever. And so they can either do this in well-calibrated fashion, or they can follow from behind. They can lead from behind. They can wait for everybody to go out and do what they're going to do, and then sort of try to backfill the policy. My bet is on the latter, because I don't think that many of these governors are forward-thinking. I think that most of these governors are afraid that the media is going to call them nasty and cruel. And more than that, I think that a lot of these governors want the political polarization. By the way, I think if you polled Americans as to how many people are willing to reopen under social distancing circumstances with restrictions in place, I think you'd end up with 75% of Americans who agree with that. So this polarization is just not real, in my opinion. All righty, we'll be back here on Monday. Have a safe and secure and happy weekend. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Some states partially reopened on Friday. Others are going to loosen restrictions on Monday. But Washington Governor Jay Inslee says he's extending his state's stay-at-home order.
On Monday, I will issue a new extension of our stay-home, stay-healthy order. And this will allow us to take some initial immediate steps to begin reopening. We're turning the dial. Washington businesses will reopen in four phases.
In Michigan Thursday, protesters, some armed, descended on the Capitol demanding Governor Gretchen Whitmer open the state. She says she sympathizes, but she didn't like some of what she saw.
Yesterday's scene at the Capitol was disturbing, to be quite honest. Swastikas and Confederate flags, nooses, and automatic rifles do not represent who we are as Michiganders.
Governor Gavin Newsom of California hopes the closure of Orange County beaches this weekend's a one and done.
If we have the kind of weekend that I hope and expect we will, where we don't see those huge crowds descend, then we're going to be in a position.
And New York City nursing home says one in nearly every seven residents has died from coronavirus.
There are just over 700 beds in the Isabella Geriatric Center in Manhattan. Center officials say 98 of those people occupying those beds have died in the coronavirus pandemic as of this past Wednesday. In their statement to the Associated Press, the officials say 46 who died are known to have been infected. 52 others are suspected of having had the virus. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio expressed his shock, calling the deaths horrifying, and it's just impossible to imagine so many people lost in one place. Nursing homes in New York State have been especially hard hit.
Tim McGuire reporting. More news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This is Dennis Prager and my friends. They're at it again. The left is doing its best to silence ideas it doesn't like. Hollywood does not want you to see my film, No Safe Spaces, which is why you won't see it on Netflix or Amazon Prime. But now you can watch No Safe Spaces for a limited time at nosafespaces.com. It's time to fight back and protect freedom in America. See No Safe Spaces. It is a great film starring me and Adam Carolla. Go to nosafespaces.com.
The Capitol physician says he doesn't have enough kits to test every lawmaker as the Senate prepares to return to work on Monday.
Republican aides brought the issue to Capitol physician Brian Monahan this week, noting that most senators are considered at risk for the coronavirus. He says he doesn't have the means to test those who are asymptomatic, so he'll be using his test kits only for those who show the signs associated with COVID-19. Monahan also notes neither he nor anyone else in Washington has access to the 15-minute test being used at the White House. His test results can take from 2 to 7 days. Bob Agnew reporting.
Members of the House Judiciary Committee calling on Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos to testify over concerns his deputies may have misled Congress during testimony about their use of third-party sellers' data. The letter was sent to Bezos on Friday, lawmakers citing a Wall Street Journal report that said the company had used the data to create competing products. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Captive neighbors are seeking relief from Amazon's construction noise near Washington.
For residents of a northern Virginia neighborhood where Amazon is building a new headquarters, the loudest construction work is occurring at the worst possible time. The relentless bang and clang of pile-driving work's been going on for weeks now, and neighbors are stuck at home. All day long, they hear the rhythmic pounding more than 40 times a minute. One neighbor has started a petition asking that the pile driving be delayed until stay-at-home orders for the coronavirus pandemic are lifted. County officials did persuade the Clark Construction Company to delay the start of the noise until 8 a.m. each day, but they say they can't make it stop. Keith Peters, Washington.
This year's Memorial Day event in Washington will go on, audience or not. The government shut down the gathering because of coronavirus, but PBS still has plans. The broadcast is set for May 24th at 8 o'clock Eastern. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision. Thankfully, it appears that Coachmaster Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coachmaster is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
A lot of folks will say that women need to be believed and heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they should be heard.
What?
I missed that. I didn't even catch that when it went by. That's great. Miko says a lot of people believe women should be believed and heard. She believes they should be heard. And then on a selective basis, believe. You know. Boy, it's good to be a Democrat, isn't it? Holy cow. Oh, good Friday to you in the age of the Wuhan Red Death. Now, the Democrats are still on the side of China, communist China, lying China, murderous, barbarous China, other commies. They really have no choice in the matter. The Washington Post has two front page pieces today, deflecting for their pals in Beijing. Communist China, they love the Communist Party of China. That's the thing. It is extraordinary. Hey, listen, big stories going on today. The two giant stories are the General Flynn story, which continues to percolate, and there's more information out today, more memos and communications from inside the corrupt Comey stroke FBI, an extremely corrupt organization, a horrible third world banana republic kind of operation being run by corrupt people like James Comey, but not limited to James Comey. And more proof continues to emerge. And there's, did you see his tweet today? Comey's tweet, he's got a Twitter. And he likes to tweet pictures of himself walking in the woods looking ponderous and, I don't know, listening to I Found Your Diary Underneath the Tree by Bread. And he's kind of a weird guy, delete kind of. He's a very weird guy. And this morning he tweeted out a picture of a wed woes, a picture of a rose in his garden. He says that we have no reason to believe it's in his garden. He's not an honest or trustworthy person, so anything he says should be questioned. Maybe a commission should be launched to see where their rose is. But he, like he's a forlorn teenage girl, he tweeted out a tight shot, a photograph of a red rose growing in what he says is his garden, but nobody believes him. And I saw this morning, and I just thought how sad, how forlorn, what kind of a... Now, who is he? For whom is he pining, this teenage girl? But I'll get into that a little bit, because I was like, maybe he's listening to Minnie Riperton or something, and he's kind of crying into his coffee back at home. But we'll get into that, because he is one of the crooks that railroaded General Flynn, a three-star general who spent 33 years in uniform, director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. And there's some more meat to put on the bone there, a good deal more meat to put on the bone there. Is it okay if you say on the radio that you're putting meat on the bone, especially? And with that, let's go to Joe Biden, because that's another story all day. Lunch bucket Joe Biden has, of course, been credibly accused by Tara Reid of sexually assaulting him. He was her boss decades ago when... he perpetrated an act that I'm hesitant to describe on the radio, but it involved Roman hands and Russian fingers and his hands in her clothing, and that's not all. And I see the news media, who was it, the New York Times yesterday, questioning why she wasn't wearing pantyhose, as though they could determine, based on the details of the story, whether she was wearing pantyhose or not. And they decided to challenge her on that. That was the New York Times, because then the New York Times also threatened her, as did the Washington Post, owned by Dr. Evil. And they say, you know, filing a false police report could get you thrown in jail, young lady, they're saying to her. And she's not as young as she used to be, but they're still threatening her with jail like this, and wondering why she wasn't wearing pantyhose, as though they can conclude that based on the information that they had. So the news media, you know, I was pointing to some of this yesterday, all this great stuff from the phony, baloney, corrupt news media. The USA Today headline yesterday, "Believe All Women," in quotation marks with a question mark. Now that Reid has accused Joe Biden of sexual assault, comma, never mind, is the headline there. And that's pretty much right. Alicia Milano, you know, here she, I think, was she a child actress or something? Because she's not really in anything. Alicia Milano, who pretends to be a successful actress, but she did help start the Harvey Weinstein Pound Me Too thing. And she came out yesterday. She supports women and the Pound Me Too movement and Joe Biden. Because were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all. And Alicia Milano is a liberal, therefore she has double standards. And that's just sort of the rules of, these are the rules of the road here when it comes to this stuff. And besides, you know, a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds, as a wise man once said long ago. And in fact, the whole phrase is, a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds, adored by little statesmen and philosophers and divines. But certainly not liberals. You know, the foolish consistency is not their thing. Without getting into what Emerson meant about all that, it's a great phrase for the moment, because, you know, just any kind of consistency would be kind of nice. Now, Joe Biden went around to see which fluffer he wanted to have in the news media, which fluffer he wanted to have fluff him on this question, because, you know, the Washington Post put out a tweet, and then a story in yesterday's paper, their number two editorial, saying that Joe Biden should answer these questions about Tara Reid after weeks and weeks of completely ignoring, of course. And then, you know, Joe Biden knows when the Washington Post is saying, and of course the Washington Post always had the option of just asking him instead of going out on this walk and saying he needs to answer it in their editorial page and in a tweet. They could have actually had their reporter covering him ask the question. Of course, Biden has done dozens of interviews without being asked a single question about it, because it's good to be a Democrat. And they're, the media is very corrupt. They're corrupt Democrats posing as journalists in the overwhelming majority of cases. And Joe Biden relies on this. He knows this. So they shopped it around and said, well, who are we going to, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And they were going around and they issued talking points to all of their proxies and so on. saying that, first of all, they had their proxies out there, all these women like Kamala, the hypocrite Harris, and Stacey, the hypocrite, and governor of Georgia, Abrams, saying that they believe Joe Biden, because that whole believe the women thing is just, that's along political lines too, along with everything else with these people, and they're nothing if not hypocrites. And then the New York Times discovered that the Biden campaign had issued talking points, and in the talking points, they instructed their proxies, who are liars all, to go on television and talk to the newspaper and to declare that a New York Times investigation, which is a pretty fancy word for what they did at the New York Times, that a New York Times investigation found that Tara Reid's claims were not credible. And Stacey Abrams went on Don Lemon's show on CNN and said that her claims were not credible, and she knows that because the New York Times investigation discovered that. Now, that was not true. That was a lie. That was what my mother would call a lie, as knowingly telling an untruth. And they were lying about Tara Reid, and they had their proxies like Stacey Abrams, who lies all the time and is just a lunatic. They had her going on television saying, no, the New York Times found that the claim was not credible. Did I mention that we're at 888-630-9625? 888-630-9625 is the telephone number here. So the Biden campaign was issuing a falsehood. Now, the thing is, you could read the New York Times piece and come away thinking that that was the case, because it kind of conveyed that message, even though they didn't say that. Because they were doing Joe Biden's bidding for him. They just didn't want to be used as the reason that Tara Reid was completely dismissed. So they put out a tweet saying, no, our so-called investigation did not conclude that her claim was not credible. We just insinuated that throughout the course of the article. We implied it. We left you with that impression. We did so deliberately because we're corrupt and we're Democrats. But we didn't, if you read very, very carefully and parse like you're a group of nuns what the New York Times typed on behalf of the DNC and the Biden campaign, then you cannot conclude that we declared her claim to be less than credible. But every reader came away with that impression. And so when Joe Biden saw that the New York Times was going to disallow this corrupt lie to be carried forward, that the New York Times declared the claim to be less than credible, and when the Washington Post said that he had to answer questions about this, and when another anonymous woman came forward in a little-known website and said that Joe Biden had raped her, then the Biden campaign said, well, I guess we better shop around our phony baloney response to this and see which of the Democrat Party fluffers we can tap to do a little Q&A with so we can put this behind us. They've got a lot of choices. They got Chunk Todd. Chunk Todd is a former Democrat Senate campaign staffer. His wife works for the Bernie Sanders campaign through her company, taking in millions of dollars. Or go to George Stephanopoulos. He's a Clinton administration official. Or maybe go to CNN and go to Jim Sciutto. He's an Obama administration official. They decided in the end to go to Morning Joke on DNC TV, which is hardcore left-wing Democrat Party on cable television, and to go to Mika Brzezinski, whose father was, of course, a Carter administration official, because you all have to have Democrat Party ties. It's the law. And honestly, I've got to say it was quite surprising that Mika, who, like, if she had a brain, she'd be out in the street playing with it on the end of a stick. She actually kind of took it to Joe Biden. It turns out she can do an interview. And it was almost to the point that she was doing Hillary Clinton's bidding. You know, I'm still looking at Hillary Clinton as a cartoon vulture sitting on the low-hanging branch of a tree in the desert, as a wobbly-kneed, thirsty calf named Joe Biden waddles over to the tree looking for nothing more than shade and maybe a little water. And Hillary Clinton is waiting to swoop down and devour Joe Biden and take over the Democratic nomination, or she wants to position herself as vice president, and then Joe Biden never makes it to election day. He has to drop out. But I am convinced, at least as of today, that Hillary Clinton is looking to steal the nomination from Joe Biden, steal the presidency from Joe Biden. She is nothing if not a woman obsessed, to be sure. And also this this job, I said this yesterday, and I, you know, I believe Tara Reid because I'm consistent, you know. I believe that Tara Reid's accusation has well, there's a lot of credibility given the contemporaneous corroboration that has been provided, even in the New York Times. They went and found a bunch of Biden people to say, I never heard anything about it. What would you expect Biden people to say? And so on. But look out for Hillary on this one, because this has all the markings. Look, this is what the Democrats do to people. This is what Anita Hill was in the Clarence Thomas high-tech lynching. This is what Dr. Christine Blasey Ford and Julie Swetnick and Deborah Ramirez were in the lynching of Brett Kavanaugh. This is what they do. This is what the Clinton people do. They drum up sexual assault allegations. They do it all the time. I mentioned a Laura Logan piece on Fox Nation, which lays out another hit job that the Clinton people did on a left-wing activist, Washington, D.C., lifelong Democrat lefty, and he crossed the Clintons because he worked with Julian Assange, who was putting out Hillary Clinton's emails, and it hurt the Clintons. So they destroyed this guy by ginning up accusations of sexual assault against him, destroyed his business, lost his home, ruined his life, and then the accusers withdrew, or at least the primary accuser withdrew the accusation. So, I mean, it does. This is the M.O. This is the Clinton playbook. And Joe Biden is not saying it's the Clinton playbook, but it's Game of Thrones all over the place here. Listen, we've got lots of audio from the big interview with Mika today. We're going to take a quick one here, and we're going to start going through this. And I want to set up who they chose to do the interview. You know, Mika, a lot of Democrats in the media to choose from. Mika, you know, Democrat Party family, of course. And he's the Zbigniew Brzezinski, the late not-so-great Zbigniew Brzezinski, the guy who gifted us Iran and the Ayatollahs, the Islamic Revolution, betraying our allies back then. We're still suffering the consequences of Zbigniew Brzezinski's great work during the Carter administration. But a lot to get to on the corrupt people at MSNBC. Mika did kind of take the interview to him. And a General Flynn update, and it is a huge update. Comey, honestly, we're going to have to get an extra long bunk in a prison cell, because he's like, I was looking with the flower today. Remind me, he's like the Birdman of Alcatraz, this weirdo. So all that and a lot more coming up.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
This is a commercial announcement. Picture this scenario. A shortage of fuel has closed your electric utility, or any possible disaster has just devastated your town. You're out of power, no lights, and no news. That's why federal and state agencies urge every home to have an emergency radio. Now you can get a free Dynamo World Band emergency radio. This powerful radio lets you stay informed during any type of emergency. It doesn't even need batteries, and comes with a hand crank generator and super bright LED flashlight. The Dynamo emergency radio includes the NOAA weather band, a long-range AM receiver, a high-sensitivity FM band, and even a USB jack to charge cell phones or other devices. The Dynamo emergency weather band radio retails for almost $30. But Newsmax wants to make sure you get this radio. So check out the free offer for the emergency radio by going to gettheradio.com. That's gettheradio.com, or call 800-NEWSMAX. This radio could save your life. This is a limited offer and may end soon, so order today.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
We know staying in is a little easier when you can grill out. That's why Ace will help you get a great grill for your family from the best brands like Big Green Egg, Traeger, and Weber. And with your local Ace right in your neighborhood, we'll assemble and deliver your grill for free. Then, to make it even easier, we'll include free fuel to help you get grilling. The brands you love and the service you trust, only at Ace. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members through May 31st on grills and accessories $3.99 and up. Propane tank not included. See participating stores for scheduling or exclusion.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents.
And Doug.
Breathe out
and repeat after me. Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Your bird is eating my candles.
Your bird is eating my candles.
No, seriously, he's making a mess.
No, seriously.
Liberty.
Get a customized quote at libertymutual.com.
This moment of gratitude is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage and the Rock family of companies.
We really want to thank my wife's cousin Marie, who works so hard as a nurse saving others.
To those who leave their homes to keep us safe in ours, thank you.
And yeah, you guys are awesome.
We're sending all our love, gratitude, and hope your way.
Thank you.
If you'd like to thank America's frontline and essential workers, visit everyoneknowsahero.com. Quicken Loans, LLC, NMLS number 3030, licensed in 50 states. Each legal entity that identifies themselves as part of the Rock family of companies are separate legal entities with their own governance and management structures.
At CGW, we get that wireless printing can leave your network vulnerable.
That's why I never take my eyes off our printers. I haven't blinked all day.
That's gotta itch.
No, it's more of a burning sensation.
Well, CGW would orchestrate a solution featuring HP LaserJet Enterprise printers to help you protect your network with reliable automated print security.
Can I blink again?
You sure can.
Oh.
IT orchestration by CGW. People who get it. Find out more at cdw.com/HP Print Security.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Man, I'm telling you, we got now the left is going crazy going after Mika Brzezinski because she was too harsh with Lunch Bucket Joe, they believe. Yesterday they wanted to fire Chris Hayes at MSDNC because they did a segment on Tara Reid, and that was enough. Now they're going to go after Mika Brzezinski because she has questions. The left is, they're just communists. Let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Lisa calling from New York, New York. Lisa, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, can you hear me, Chris?
Yes, I can.
Good. You're terrific. Listen, Republicans, we don't believe Joe Biden, that we have to keep this up for the next 6 months. Unless Joe Biden, he's got to release these police reports. And if he doesn't, this is going to hang over him for 6 months. But Republicans must keep this up because they're still talking about Stormy Daniels with Trump for 2 years now. We don't believe Joe Biden. He's a rapist. We've got to be vicious like the Democrats are. He's a rapist unless he shows evidence there was no police report.
got to prove you're not guilty. It's the Brett Kavanaugh standard.
That's right. We do it back to them because Republicans must do this or else Joe Biden will be the next president. Republicans can't be scared. They must. Repetition works. They must keep this up for 6 months. Keep this hanging over Joe Biden.
Repetition works. You have read their playbook. You do know what their schemes are. And
so
you're right.
We do it back to them. It's so simple to do. But all we have is you guys. You're all great on talk radio. And Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson on Fox. That's all we have. We have the, Democrats are on TV every hour, Sunday shows, attacking Trump. We've got to be dirty and vicious. Call him. He's a rapist. Tara Reid must appear sometime with Sean Hannity, I think, or whatever.
Yeah.
And we've got to get her friends on, do what they did to us with Brett Kavanaugh and Trump and every Republican.
Well, interestingly, Lisa, 60 Minutes is not banging on Tara Reid's door to get the blockbuster interview with her so they can splash it all over the airwaves on Sunday night. George Stephanopoulos is, not sending a limousine for Tara Reid so they can do the big interview. Michael, have we seen her on television? We know that MSDNC said they talked to her on the phone the other day, and they didn't air any of the audio on the phone, and it's just on the phone. And they're a TV station last time I looked. Lisa, thank you very much. Wonderful call. Beautifully laid out case. Thank you.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
I was thinking about this yesterday, and, you know, I see a lot of things through the prism of motion pictures. You may have noticed. There's a great classic film, Frank Sinatra, 1962, The Manchurian Candidate. I make reference to it from time to time. And the Angela Lansbury character in there, she plays the wife of a really dumb senator. But she is evil. She's an evil star. I've always thought of the Angela Lansbury character in the 1962 Manchurian Candidate as being very Hillary Clinton-esque. And at this point, the senator, she's married to the senator, who's a buffoon. He's a dummy. James Gregory is his name, the actor. And, you know, great. He's had 1,000 things. You've seen him. 150 things. Anyway, you've seen him. And he's Senator John Yerkes Iceland. And he's a moron, and his wife is a commie mole, and she's got this plan where he's going to take over as president of the United States after they position him to be vice president, and then the candidate who's president gets killed, assassinated, and the idiot becomes president, but he's really controlled by the evil Angela Lansbury behind the curtain, who's a commie, you know, working for the commies like Putin or the Wuhan people, and it's a great movie, it really is. I'd still recommend it. It's a fun watch. And it's ripped from today's headlines. It's not really ripped from today's headlines, but it's a fine movie. And I'm looking at this scenario here, and I'm thinking, boy, I got to tell you, the James Gregory character is very much like Senator Joe Biden, who's a dummy and doesn't know what's going on. And then, of course, Angela Lansbury is this evil communist who's the real power behind the throne. And I can't help but thinking that maybe the Biden people should watch this movie because Hillary Clinton is a cartoon vulture lurking in a tree, waiting to swoop down and steal what is rightfully hers to her way of thinking because she's a very dangerous woman. She's a Game of Thrones nightmare. She's frightening. Now, the Biden people, they decided to go with Mika Brzezinski. And again, the Mika thing is turning out to be pretty amusing on a number of levels. She's being excoriated by the left for being much too harsh with Joe. And I said myself when I came on, I said she actually kind of took it to him a little bit. She asked some questions that were legitimate questions, and I didn't expect that at all. And now she tweeted out after the interview, and I love this. They're such, they reveal themselves all the time. They're too dumb to know it, especially Mika. I mean, come on, let's be fair to other dumb people. She tweeted after the interview. She said, "The interview with Joe Biden was difficult, having known and greatly respected him for decades." That's what they always say when they sit down and do an interview with Mitch McConnell, isn't it? And George W. Bush and Ted Cruz. They always say, having known and greatly, not just respected him, greatly respected him for decades. Then she puts in parentheses, "I still do. I still do." You know, because she's fluffing from afar here over Twitter. The notion, then, listen to this, because here comes the flip-flop from the corrupt Mika Brzezinski, who's really too dumb to understand her own corruption. She then types in her tweet this morning after the Joe Biden interview, "The notion that all women are to be believed, comma." Now, here you go. Now you're off to the races, right? "The notion that all women are to be believed, comma, which dominated the Kavanaugh hearings, comma, was revisited." Really? When was that revisited? "Should it be? Question mark. Were Democrats wrong then or now?" Let me help you out there. You're wrong both times, because you're Democrats and you're dimwits and you're hypocrites and you do whatever's politically expedient, and then you try to come up with language to cover your corrupt tracks. It's standard protocol in Washington, D.C. And on the Twitter, all these lefties who love MSNBC are going crazy, and they're tweeting at her, "Girl, bye, you blew it. You harassed Joe Biden." Well, wait a minute. See, now, wait a minute. The person interviewing about it is the harasser and not Joe Biden? Because it's good to be a Democrat, you know? "And tried to get gotcha moment, and it backfired." And everybody's agreeing with her. "You were wrong. The Me Too movement isn't supposed to be a witch hunt." Of course it is. That's exactly what it was created to do, to lynch an innocent man based on no evidence at all and the specious claim of a pixelated nutcase from California who has two front doors and thinks she can't fly but does all the time, whose family didn't support her, who had the support of absolutely no one, who had no contemporaneous collaboration of any kind of her story. And here's the left now going crazy and attacking Mika Brzezinski for asking questions. Now, just to be clear, who are we talking about here when it comes to MSNBC doing this interview? And the Biden campaign, they got the pick of the litter on this. They can choose whatever Democrat at whatever Democrat news organization they want to choose. And they will give them a fluff job no matter what. And then they got a little surprise. But before, see, why did they choose? Let's go to soundbite number one, Michael. A little walk down memory lane. In 2009, President Trump had just become the president, President Obama had just become the president of the United States, and Joe Biden is the vice president, and the fluffers that they are, Joe Marlboro and his inflatable wife, this is when Joe Biden was about to walk on the set, and this was the intro.
We're joined in the studio right now, as you know, by Vice President Joe Biden. Great to see you.
Good to be with you guys.
I promise you tough questions. We're going to start with one. What makes you so great? You
know,
you are in a no, no criticize, Joe.
Well, I tell you what, man, I'm staying then.
We're in a no, you are in a no criticize Joe zone. I got some tough question. What makes you so great? And then, I'll just keep to myself what I'm thinking. Because, you know, but suffice to say, that's why they made the desktops Lucite, okay? Last April on the television, a woman named Rosa Flores came forward and accused Biden of sexual misconduct. And he was way too touchy and affectionate and flirtatious and out of line. And Mika decided to take up the matter of Rosa Flores and this accusation that had been leveled against Joe Biden.
A lot of things I know about Joe Biden, I've known him for a long time. He is extremely affectionate, extremely flirtatious in a completely safe way. I am sure that somebody can misconstrue something he's done.
I'm sure. But it would be, you know, you would have to misconstrue, because he is pure, pure as Guinevere. He is as pure as the Driven. He is Mika last April still on the Rosa Flores because how dare you say anything about Creepy Joe?
There's a woman who accuses him of smelling her hair. He's not interested in your hair. Okay? He was going on stage and he took a deep breath before he went on stage and you took it deeply personal. This, once again, is completely ridiculous.
This is what the media does for you when you're a creepy Democrat, and this is why for years and years he's gotten away with it. Look, it's the same M.O. as Mark Halperin, who sat at the desk with Joe and Mika for years, who everybody knew was a groper who rubbed his loin on all the young women in the office. And he did it at ABC also, and everybody knew it there. And they protected the creep for years on end, and his conduct was just fine with them for years, just as was the case with Harvey Weinstein, when everybody knew what his conduct was all about, when everybody knew what Bill Clinton's conduct was all about, when all the news media knew that John Edwards was cheating on his cancer-afflicted wife with the videographer on the press plane, and nobody on the press plane reported the story. Look, these people, they give a standing ovation to Roman Polanski, who's on the run from the law because he drugged and raped a 13-year-old girl years ago, but they love his movies. And he's made a couple of good movies. And but really, before he went on the run, Chinatown is a good movie. Last April, Creepy Joe, hey, it's okay. He kisses everybody.
Late night comics would show clips of him when he was swearing people in, and everybody would laugh. Going, wow, look at Joe. And it wasn't like Creepy Joe. It was just, you know,
it is Joyous Joe, who loved to hug and kiss mothers, brothers, kids, and he's affectionate.
And every now and then, accidentally, his hands would go down your pants. And he's not creepy. See, they're supporting his behavior. They're endorsing his. They're celebrating his behavior. They're cheering his behavior. And they're covering up his behavior because they're not journalists. They're Democrats. This is a Democrat Party show. And Joe pretends he used to be a Republican. He's just a narcissist and, I think, probably a psychopath, actually, based on the behavior that I've observed over the course of the last several years. I'm not technically a psychiatrist, but I can tell you this much. He needs one. So, Mika, last April, and it's Joe Biden goes around and he does this stuff, but he's good. And where in the world is Matt Lauer anyway? Because, you know, Matt Lauer had a vibrating closet and a bucket under his desk, a button rather under his desk, might have a bucket too, had a button under his desk so he could lock the doors when unsuspecting women came into his giant corner Rockefeller Center office because don't you know who I am? And he's chasing them around like he's the Marx Brothers, and that's okay. Everybody knew that at NBC, and this is NBC also. Mark Halperin, they hired him away from ABC, knowing that he was rubbing his loin on the backs of the heads of young girls who just wanted to cover politics, and he's like, he's the gateway to covering politics. So, I mean, these people are the biggest hypocrites in the world. Here's again Mika and Joe. Mika, last April.
A lot of folks, will say that women need to be believed and heard.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I believe they should be heard.
Right.
And I believe they should be heard. But, not believed because when you're accusing Brett Kavanaugh, you know, that's another thing altogether. They're really something. Now, today they went on the, because they knew they had their big, and it's an exclusive, because they couldn't go on with Matt Lauer because he was chased out because of sexual harassment. And, they couldn't go on with Mark Halperin because he was chased out, you know, he used to be part of this show, Morning Joke. All the NBC people, they all lie all the time. And it's amazing. So this morning they came out on the 6 a.m. hour, and they started building a case for themselves because I guess they knew they were going to be attacked by their own cadre of lefties if they asked any hard questions. So this morning the terrible, horrible, you know who they are, those media that don't sing from our sheet music and that Kavanaugh standard, come on.
Let's talk about the criticism by some, particularly on the right, that the media has not applied the same standard to this allegation against Biden as it did the allegations against Judge Brett Kavanaugh when he was undergoing his confirmation process.
Obvious.
We think that's a good thing. The media should not apply what seemed to be a Kavanaugh standard to Joe Biden. The media should not apply the same standard most applied to Judge Kavanaugh to Donald Trump. The media should not apply a Kavanaugh standard to any public figure.
Uh-huh. That was just for Kavanaugh. You remember when the news media decided, what was the name of the hurricane that went through Puerto Rico, and it was devastating, and it was horrible, and it hit Florida, and it came up the East Coast, but Puerto Rico was especially hard hit. Remember, the media was very upset. President Trump threw a roll of paper towels to somebody who said, hey, throw me a roll of paper towels, and that was 2 weeks' worth of negative media. And then the media decided that they were going to invent an entirely new way to count the number of people that died from a hurricane. And they not only counted all the people that died from the hurricane in Puerto Rico, they started counting people that died in upstate New York of heart conditions 6 months later because they were in Puerto Rico at the time. And they more than doubled the number of dead from the hurricane because they wanted to blame Trump for the number of dead from the hurricane. This is true. This is 100% true. And then never again will a body count or a death count from a hurricane be used in the same way. Never again. They invented a completely new metric, and it was corrupt as hell. It was third world, like crazy, you must be kidding me, corrupt way of counting the number of dead. And now you see Mika, and here she is, the shameless prostitute for her party that she is. She is saying, well, nobody, should, and oh, Trump shouldn't be held to the same standard, but he was, and every Republican is held to the same standard. And she's saying out loud this morning, today, that nobody should be held to the Kavanaugh standard. Only Kavanaugh should be held to the Kavanaugh standard. And only Trump should be held to the Trump standard. And it's really, it's a part of their corruption. And in their brains, I'm not sure they even have any idea of how corrupt they are. Just amazing. And here it is. Here is that it just, you know, shouldn't be used on Biden. The Kavanaugh standard be used on Biden? Don't be ridiculous. Your computer is not working. I can't believe that. And Joe Biden, that was going to be soundbite 6A. We have so many soundbites today that we have.
The media should not apply what seemed to be a Kavanaugh standard to Joe Biden.
Right. What, you know, you can't just apply a Kavanaugh standard to Joe Biden. What kind of ridiculous person would apply a Kavanaugh standard to Joe Biden? Joe Biden's a Democrat, you see. And that means that you apply a completely different standard. And then Mika this morning explaining, you know, that whole due process thing that Brett Kavanaugh didn't get. Well, just come on, forget about that.
The blanket and absolute standard of simply believing all women is a notion we dismissed here on the show early on.
Yeah, they did.
The standard
for
the media in covering sexual assault allegations needs to be to report the facts, listen to the accuser,
uh-huh,
and give the accused full due process,
uh-huh,
both men and women.
No.
We were very clear about that on the show during the Kavanaugh story.
Yeah, that's not true. Every now and then they pointed to bad journalism. It's true that every now and then they point, well, that's not every now, because I know this because they showed all the clips of them trying to be fair. The overwhelming preponderance, the tsunami on their corrupt little cable show, was anti-Kavanaugh, Lynch Kavanaugh, and then they pretend that they took the moral high ground at the time. They did not. They're a joke. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Here at Rocket Mortgage and the Rock family of companies, every one of our team members knows a hero.
My Uncle Paul, who works long hours at the grocery store to make sure that people can put food on the table.
We really want to thank my wife's cousin Marie, who works so hard as a nurse saving others.
Thank you for being a hero in our community, Des Marie.
To those who leave their homes to keep us safe in ours, we thank you. From the front lines to behind the scenes, we see you. You're essential every day, and today, you're heroes.
We're giving families everywhere a little more hope for a healthier tomorrow.
We're sending all our love, gratitude, and hope your way.
Here's to all of you. We couldn't be more grateful.
Thank you so much for everything that you're doing.
Yeah, you guys are awesome.
And we miss you, Mama.
I just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
If you'd like to thank America's frontline and essential workers with us, visit everyoneknowsahero.com. Quick and Loans, LLC, NMLS number 3030, licensed in 50 states. Each legal entity that identifies themselves as part of the Rock family of companies are separate legal entities with their own governance and management structures.
At CDW, we get that wireless printing can leave your network vulnerable.
That's why I never take my eyes off our printers. I haven't blinked all day.
That's gotta itch.
No, it's more of a burning sensation.
Well, CDW would orchestrate a solution featuring HP LaserJet Enterprise printers to help you protect your network with reliable automated print security.
Can I blink again?
You sure can. IT orchestration by CDW. People who get it. Find out more at cdw.com/HP Print Security.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company helps you customize your home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Unlike things you paid for you didn't need, like that much-needed 125-inch flat-screen TV.
It's hurting my eyes. A lot.
Or your 100-square-foot bedroom.
My neck isn't so much stiff as it's completely stuck.
With Liberty Mutual, get customized home insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Uh-oh, I'm seeing color splotches.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Please briefly hold. You are very important to us.
Your customers need to get a hold of you and you with them. Make it easier with Podium, the messaging tool for local businesses. Podium helps communicate with customers more efficiently by making your business line textable, giving customers a more convenient way to connect. See why over 40,000 businesses use Podium. Go to podium.com/news or text the code NEWS to 511-511 and save an average of $500. Text NEWS to 511-511 today.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
All right, we're talking Joe Biden. We're going to have the audio of the actual interview coming up very shortly. Wanted to set the stage a bit here. Right now, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Christian, calling from Arlington, Virginia. Christian, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much.
Good. Now, I have a couple really close female friends who worked on Capitol Hill, especially when Joe Scarborough was there, and they said the day he showed up, he was chasing women around the Capitol like there was no tomorrow. And then when he was over at Fox with Scarborough Country, Mika, Sheriff Mika, and I love the name, was his scheduler, and he demanded when he was hired in or contracted with MSNBC that Sheriff Mika go with him. and, you know, they were having an extramarital affair. I mean, the whole thing is, it's the scene from Casablanca. You know, they're shocked that there's gambling going on.
Right, right. Yeah, so you're saying that Joe Scarborough up on Capitol Hill, notorious dog.
Yes, he was chasing women from the day he showed up and got sworn in. And apparently, his reputation was that throughout the Capitol. And I'm sure if some investigative reporter, which there won't be one, would actually go out and do a background sort of investigation on this, he'd probably find countless number of women that were chased by Joe Scarborough. And he used to play, apparently he used to play in some Capitol Hill band that you can't find now. I'm sure Google's hiding it. But, yeah, the whole point was his band was to meet women.
Well, that's the point of every band, you know, when they start out.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
That's an effect, John Scarborough. But it's true. Yeah, he plays the guitar badly, and every now and then he tries to sing badly. And I find him to be maybe the worst, most offensive media person out there for some reason. But I have to watch in the morning because it's my job. Most people don't, and since most people don't have to, most people don't. And you know, they watch. Almost nobody watches that show. But the people on the people in the media watch it, and that's kind of the problem with him. So old Joe Scarborough, I'm unsurprised by this. Of course. That Joe, and he was married, that in fact he just left his wife and kids a couple of years ago to shack up full time with Mika, then they got hitched, and now, I mean, just to show how dishonest they are, Christian, they're doing their show from Florida, and they have fake backdrops of Washington and the Capitol Dome, when the show normally comes from New York, and they normally live in New York, but they're doing the show from Florida with a backdrop of Washington. So, when they're sitting there silently, they're already lying to you. When they start talking, they just seal the deal. That's MSDNC. Christian, thank you very much for the call, the interview.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.